about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
How in the world did I let this happen to myself again?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother f***ing.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about arse?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
Further, out there, I know arse isn't a swear word. Here, in CV land, arse is most definitely a swear word. But trust me, I know all about swearing and CV. I'm a master of knowing when I can and when I can't.
What about big dogs? Can you say that?
And now,
the entire office has come down with a pernicious case of the Mondays.
Well, what do you put our chances at?
0%.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning.
Indeed, and it's the 21st of March. I don't get a chance to say this very often, but wow, wasn't it a gorgeous weekend? The sun. Oh, the sun. Spent all my time outside. Went to the beach a couple times with the dogs. Wow, it's great that spring is here.
Yeah, it is.
Did you really?
Come on, guys. Let me rub it in for once. Let me rub it in for one time.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Saw Lisa's tweets. Looks like it was pretty serious at your house, Lisa. What was going on?
Well, you know, I have a balcony, and I have a doggy door that leads to the balcony. And the doggy door is sort of jury-rigged, and the wind was blowing so hard that I was trying to tape it up more. Mm-hmm. But I ended up taping one side to the other, so when I opened it, the whole doggy door fell down, and the whole balcony is completely soaked. And this morning, I was out there with ShamWows.
Nice!
Because the drains don't work properly, so the water wouldn't come in the house. And then my boyfriend's giant stone gate fence fell.
Nice.
Whole thing went down.
Good. Wow. Good.
So, yeah. So.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. And I hear there's more. Not much more, but a little more.
How about at the monkey house? How'd you fare?
I fared all right, except for I was trying to watch basketball all weekend.
Oh, and the satellite kept going out.
In and out.
Yes.
Every 3 seconds, they'd be going, all right, it's 2 seconds left down the court. And then it would say searching for signal. I go, come on!
I know, it's terrible.
Not right now!
So that was...
I was watching the final episode of Big Love. That series ended.
Oh, last night?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I got about 2/3 of it.
Excellent.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah, that is the one thing about the satellite, is it will go out if it gets too rainy. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but this too shall pass, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you.
No?
You never get over it.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Here's a here's an unusual one. Here's a 911 call in Dallas. They responded to a choking call at an apartment in the 8500 block of Fair Oaks Crossing. They arrived. Front door of the apartment was open. They entered cautiously, heard someone calling out to them from the bathroom. They went in there. There was a 69-year-old female sitting on the toilet with a toilet paper holder impaled in her neck.
A toilet?
Now we're talking about... The toilet paper holder. Yeah. You know, the piece of metal that comes out of the wall that you put the toilet paper
on. Yeah, but they're not sharp.
I know. I'm trying to figure this out, too. The woman had no trouble breathing, was able to speak. She told firefighters that she had slipped and fell. She has a history of bad knees. It's difficult for her to walk, said the firefighters. She apparently fell.
Are you positive it wasn't a piercing of some type?
She apparently fell, and the toilet paper holder just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was impaled into her neck. Now, yeah, a toilet paper holder doesn't seem sharp, and how come you can't just pull it out?
Well, I think I'd be afraid to, because it's in your neck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you could bleed to death immediately.
Well, I guess. Rescuers were worried about the weight of the toilet paper holder, which still had toilet paper on it. They decided to remove it at the scene.
Still had toilet paper on it. At least you could go to the restroom as much as you wanted.
No problem. They used bolt cutters to cut off the heavy end, and the remaining piece fell out on its own. She was taken to Baylor Hospital to get stitches.
Wow.
Isn't that a bizarre story?
That is, it's exactly what it is.
It's one of those where you go, I don't know, there's more to the story.
Something happened,
right? Something's been left out, and I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Look, if this were a 24-year-old guy and the toilet paper holder was in him, then I would say, yeah, there's more.
Right.
This is one of those kind of stories.
Right.
But
I fell.
A 69-year-old woman and it's in her neck just doesn't sound like
69-year-old women can be kinky as well, my man.
But in her neck?
Just call you my man. Yeah, internet. I don't get that, man. That's a little freaky.
And I also don't get how it sticks. I don't know. As usual, I read the article, and then I'm really troubled by how little information is given. I want to know more details on this. I do want to see some sort of a play-by-play. I want to see an artist rendition of what might have happened.
Yeah, you don't want to see it, though. Artist rendition, maybe, but you don't want to see
fine.
It, right?
That's fine. So, anyway, that's crazy. I mean, 911 operators, it's been a long time since we've done it, but I bet they do get the craziest calls. I bet they can't believe the stuff they show up and do. And just like being a police officer, when you walk in that apartment, you got to be ready for anything. You must have no idea what's on the docket that day.
I guess so, but, you know, even for police officers, that's got to stand out a bit.
Yeah.
Well, right. We've seen everything now, and then you go into the house and you go, okay, now we've actually seen everything.
Good times.
Wow, that seems... Wow, so our problems aren't so bad.
No.
I think that's the point.
You know what we don't have? Toilet paper rolling our necks.
Yeah.
Don't have that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Even deaf people are complaining.
Oh, how dare you. I also didn't get to see The Celebrity Apprentice last night.
Oh, yes. Right.
Which I was dying to see.
It was Busey-rific.
Oh, Gary Busey was the... Was the
he was the project manager, and he, I know we've said this before, and we're not the first to say it, but he crazy,
yeah, there's no question about that, but I can't tell if it's, look, he had a motorcycle accident, and he's got some brain damage.
Yes.
That's documented. Was he crazy before? At least some?
I don't know. I bet Ralph would know. I don't.
Because I think he was. I think maybe it's a mixture. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway.
Possible.
Hopefully he'll call in again today, and then we can...
Oh, we'll get to talk to Gary Busey for the first time ever today?
Well, it's actually scheduled. We do have him on the schedule.
Right.
And it came down from the show.
The real Gary Busey?
Yes.
Or the guy who does the Gary Busey impression?
I don't know.
Or both.
I think it's the real
Gary. Or neither.
Or neither. I think it's the real one this time. And I don't know how we tell because we said, well, for those of you that don't know, Gary Busey called our radio show just out of the blue like 2-3 times. Over the last couple of weeks, and it sounds like him exactly until, like, he'll say one sentence. You go, wait a minute, that's not him.
That doesn't sound right. Yeah.
So we've had this running commentary about could it possibly be him? Is it not him? And if it's not him, who's calling? And if somebody else is calling, how is NBC not getting upset? We can't figure it out. So NBC set it up.
Okay.
We're supposed to talk to Gary Busey today, but he can't come in. He's on the phone.
Oh.
So what does that tell us?
I don't know.
Maybe
we could play
some clips of the phone calls to him.
Right.
And say, is this you? Did you make these calls?
But the problem with Gary, just as with the listener who got a microphone in front of him and said, have you been calling the Kevin and Bean Show? And he claimed he never heard of us. The problem with Gary is you can never tell what he's expected to remember and what he's not. Because he's like the memento guy. He only remembers what's in front of him is how it appears.
So it's possible that he could hear himself and say, no, I don't remember that.
Last night on the show, he had a conversation with Mark McGrath, and then a few minutes later, completely denied that it ever happened, had never heard of it before. I don't know what you're talking about. That never happened. We didn't have that conversation.
Oh, that's sweet.
So who knows? He could talk to us today, and then 5 minutes later, he could have never heard of Kevin and Bean.
That is sweet. Yeah, and then just as soon as we hang up, he won't know us.
Right.
So we got that coming up today. We also have Andrew Siciliano talking about March Madness.
Awesome.
Oh, what a weekend.
It's a great weekend.
What a weekend.
You know what I forgot watching so much pro sports is how young these guys are in college because you see huge, huge mistakes. You go, what are you thinking? And somebody else, what are you thinking? At the end of one game, there were two of the most ridiculous fouls I've ever seen in my life. But
less than 2 seconds left.
Yeah, but they're so young and they make more mistakes just in general. And that makes for a lot wackier tournament. You never know what's going to happen. One team thinks that they've won, they're on to the next round, you know, with 0.9 or whatever, and then they end up losing. And you go, well, I thought that was going to go differently. We have Doug Benson on the program today,
mm-hmm.
one of the comedians from April Foolishness.
Great guy.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com with all the celebrities. And would our government be honest if there was radiation coming over from Japan?
No.
So they're saying no, and it's not going to hurt us, and, you know, all the updates. It's less than a billion times as much.
Every time they come out and say there's nothing to worry about, you know what I hear? You've got a lot to worry about.
Yeah, that's our problem. We were talking about this on Friday, and we were saying, look, if there was fallout, if there was radiation coming over, would they say something to people? I think no.
I think no also.
Yeah.
And I think that's a shame.
I would like them to call me but not anyone else. Because if they tell everyone, then whatever we need to stock up on to help, it's gone. It's gone. You can't get anything. There's stuff. It's already gone, just about, for people that are afraid that it might happen.
Iodine, yeah.
So that's good times. Yeah. So we got that coming up as well. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 548.
The government won't tell you this, but we're all going to die.
Yeah, get away from the radiation. Even if you got in your car right now and drove away, it'd still follow you.
Too late.
It's still going to get just too late. It's already too late.
Yeah. Is it the government that's told us we're all going to die, or is that...
They won't tell us
or
that.
Is that biology?
Oh. Well, both.
Yeah.
But who knows biology?
You know? All I know is the government knows a lot of stuff they're not telling us. That's all I know.
Let's ask Gary Busey about it.
That's right.
It's coming up after the top of the hour.
That was in Paul, man. That was in Paul. They don't want us to know the extraterrestrials exist. They wouldn't tell us. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
No. As long as you're basing your worldview on a CGI alien, that's all I care about.
That's where I get my information.
I'm sure it is. Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to a movie that looks awesome, in my humble opinion. It's called Source Code. Sci-fi thriller starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Michelle Monaghan, Vera Farmiga, Jeffrey Wright. Really cool. The premise is basically a soldier who is sent through time to take part in a mission on a Chicago commuter train that's got a bomb on it. And he's got to find the bomb and disable it in order to save everyone's life. And if he fails, he goes back into the repetition and he gets sent back to the train. So every time he fails, he keeps getting sent back to that train.
Well, why doesn't he just do it right the first time?
Well, it's not easy to find a bomb. Can you find a bomb just in a minute? Do you know what you're doing?
Probably.
I don't think so. Source Code is in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 1st. However, I've got passes to the very special Kevin and Bean screening at the Block of Orange on Wednesday, March the 30th. So if you'd like to go, the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of passes to the very special Kevin and Bean screening of Source Code.
Sounds like a dramatic version of Groundhog Day. You got to keep repeating until you get it right.
Yeah, exactly. Jake Gyllenhaal's dreamy. Speaking of movies, he's a good actor. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Limitless did very well for itself in its debut. Well, not very well, but it was number one at least. $19 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Rango came in at number two with $15.3 million. Then Battle Los Angeles, which had previously been number one, dropped to three. The Lincoln Lawyer was fourth. Paul, as Kevin mentioned, he saw this weekend, made $13.2 million in its debut weekend, good enough to make it number five. Red Riding Hood, The Adjustment Bureau, Mars Needs Moms, Beastly, and Hall Pass are the weekend's hot movies. That Mars Needs Moms, by the way, on track to be one of the biggest movie failures of all time.
Because of the original cost is...
like $150 million just to make the movie.
That's crazy.
It opened with like $7 million its opening weekend. Made a little over $5 million this weekend. I mean, it would have to be released, they figure, for the next 408 years in order to make its money back. So I don't think it's going to be in theaters that long.
But maybe it's playing huge on Mars. You ever think about that? Maybe that's where the money's coming from.
File?
Please.
What? I'm saying it's not making a lot on Earth, but come on.
You think we didn't understand what you were saying?
That joke was over our heads.
That joke was too deep for us to get.
Are you M. Night Shyamalan?
You know how sometimes they have to figure in the international territories to deter whether the movie's going to be profitable.
I think we get it. Yeah.
Speaking of movies, it's official. Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be appearing in the next Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises.
I like him.
Me too. Good actor. Of course, worked together with the director of that film in Inception as well. Now they've announced who he'll be playing in the next Batman movie. There had been some talk. Maybe he was going to be the Riddler or some other Batman character, but he will be playing Alberto Falcone, mafia chief, son of Carmine Falcone, who Tom Wilkinson played in the first film, Batman Begins.
Interesting.
A little mob angle to this film, keeping it dark and gritty, as they do. Bradley Cooper and Renee Zellweger have split up. It's good news for the ladies. For the fellas,
good news for Bradley, too.
Us Weekly announced they parted ways despite multiple rumors they were going to plan a wedding for this summer. Apparently, it's all over between the two of them. They were hot and heavy, too. They were introducing each other's parents to the significant other. And
don't do that.
A lot of time together with the families, so something must have gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Lisa, when we had Bradley Cooper on Friday, if you had known this, you could have made your move, but it hadn't broken yet.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure she has her move prepared yet.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay.
Right. Better Cooper move.
All right.
Maya Rudolph of Saturday Night Live is pregnant with her third child. She and director Paul Thomas Anderson already have two daughters, and they've got another one on the way, so congratulations. Tiger Woods news. We don't talk about Tiger all that often, but I thought this was interesting. His wife, Elin Nordegren, has just found her new home. Just dropped $12 million on a little house in Palm Beach, Florida.
Wow.
That sound you hear is Tiger shanking a ball into the woods right now when he got that bill, because I'm sure he's the one paying for it. So, there you go.
$12 million.
She's landed on her feet.
What happened?
As has Tiger. His new girlfriend was unveiled over the weekend. Her name is Elise Johnston. She is a student at Northwood University. She is blonde and 22 years old.
Okay.
Hmm.
So everybody gets something this weekend in that relationship.
She's not a waitress?
She's
That's
not a waitress.
Surprise here.
Yeah. Her father is former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Jeff Lottie. Hmm. She was introduced to Tiger through her stepfather, Alistair Johnston, who apparently is a major sports agency executive.
Ah.
Would you introduce your daughter to Tiger Woods?
I wouldn't think so.
Oh, honey, I have someone who would be great for you. He's a liar and a cheater and a philanderer and obviously has a problem staying monogamous. I'd love you to meet him. It's Tiger Woods over here.
It'd be so weird. Dad, you're setting me up with Tiger Woods? No.
What do you think of me?
Wow.
And she's 22 and still in college.
How old is Tiger? Do we know?
I guess mid-30s
probably.
By now. Yeah. Does that make sense? And lastly, on the Tiger Wood beat, which we don't cover all that often, but I thought this was interesting. You remember Rachel Yucatel?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Tiger's most high-profile mistress, perhaps, and she was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
I sort of have a boner.
Congratulations, Rachel. This weekend, she graduated from private detective school.
Yay! I'm sorry?
She's graduated from private detective school. She's taken her weapons training, and she's ready to become a private eye.
Okay.
New York Post caught up with her, and she said she was setting up shop in New York. That's where she'll be a PI.
I would like to hire her.
I'm sure you would. I wonder if she'll be involved in any cheating husband cases.
Just all of them?
Yeah. That's probably how she's going to make a majority of her bucks, wouldn't you think?
Hottest celebrity rehab contestant in history, right?
Oh, no.
You don't think
really?
So?
Really?
No. Who was the smoking hot model who was thrown up into a trash can in the hallway and looked amazing?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
What was her name?
She was pretty hot.
That was the best throw-up ever.
No, I knew who you were talking about. Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
It's going to drive us crazy.
Yeah. If you know, send an email to kevin@krock.com. kevin@krock.com. Can't think of her name.
Amber Valletta?
Amber Valletta. No, was it Amber Valletta?
I don't think so. No, that's not
right
it.
It's not, ringing, okay. It's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, I think it is an Amber, though.
Don't we have any support staff on this show who can...
No. Nobody that listens to this program.
Feverishly go on the internet
not listening.
And find us an answer and let us know what that is? Well, we got some time, maybe in a couple of minutes. And it's not easy being rich and famous. Just ask Katy Perry. Over the weekend, a crazy man showed up at her home Wednesday night. That was last week, apparently. Stared at the house for just 2 hours. Just stood there and stared at her house.
I wouldn't say that makes me crazy.
Her crack security team had to call the cops, who had a little chat with the gentleman. No arrest was made. He went on his happy way, but apparently he was creeping people out. Now, Katie wasn't home at the time, so sucks to be him, but still. You don't want that. You don't want creepy people staring at your house for 2 hours.
That is a little odd.
It's a little strange. And Megan Fox... currently in conversations with producers to do a spin-off sequel to Knocked Up. Apparently, the big sticking point in the contract is that there are several nude scenes in the film.
All right, let's go with it.
And Megan cannot decide whether she is going to appear on screen naked or not.
That's bullshit.
Word is she's quite reluctant to expose herself, but the script is good and she wants to do a comedy, so negotiations are continuing. But we'll have to wait and see whether Knocked Up 2 features Megan Fox or not.
She needs a hit, and if she thinks we will think less of her if she gets naked, she is mistaken.
How dare you, sir?
That's so hot.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rosie O'Donnell. Actress? Comedian? Talk show host? 49 years old today. Actor Matthew Broderick is also 49. Gary Oldman, speaking of the Batman movies, plays Lieutenant James Gordon in those films, soon to be Commissioner Gordon one day. He is 53 years old. Timothy Dalton, one of the James Bonds, is 65 years old. And singer Eddie Money, Eddie Money, shaking with the money man.
Yeah.
He is 62 years old today. We'll have to scare up some Eddie Money music, I think, to entertain
everyone. We tried the other day, but the computer won't stick.
Did you try the other day? Uh-huh.
Last week. In preparation
Why?
For today.
Why did you try the other day?
In preparation for today, because we need to be excited.
Well, you know what? Let me take a shot at it. Let me take a swing, see what I can do. I got a knack with those things. me and computers speak the same language.
Is that right?
COBOL. That's computer language, isn't it?
I
don't know either. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's an article I came across in the Huffington Post over the weekend from the chairman of the Department of Medicine at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, one of the most respected hospitals in America. His name's Glenn Bronstein. The panicked phone calls and emails from patients and friends concerned about the potential health effects of Japan's nuclear crisis won't quit. You turn on the television or radio, switch on the internet, and the fear is palpable. In California and across the United States, far too many people are worrying themselves sick over the remote possibility that they and their families might be exposed to massive amounts of radiation from Japan's nuclear power plant disaster. Despite my attempts to resolve the anxiety among those who consult me, many can't quell their worry about what they consider to be imminent danger. Why is this? And here's my favorite part of the article. What's feeding this boiling cauldron of fear?
Yes.
And the doctor goes on to say there's nothing to worry about because of the distance involved and because of the properties of nuclear fallout.
Yep.
Nothing's going to happen to anyone in America 5,000 or 6,000 miles away.
That's what you'd expect him to say.
Kevin, are you trying to whip people into a needless frenzy?
Whipping people into a needless frenzy! Whipping people! Into a needless frenzy!
Hide your kids, hide your wife, cause you're all gonna die.
Whipping people! Into a needless frenzy!
You're all gonna die now.
See, what do you think they would tell you, Bean, if we were all gonna die? What do you think they would tell us?
They would probably say everything's fine.
There's
no need to worry. Because every time in the movies, you know, Independence Day or whatever it is, every time they come out and try to quell the fears, it just gets people more nervous. And then every road out of town is completely blocked. People are just doing everything they can to run. And I guess they don't want to incite panic, right?
Sure.
But they do have iodine, and it does work.
For certain kinds of radiation poisoning, not all.
Oh, have you done the research?
No, but Ralph has.
Okay.
He's explaining that to me on Friday.
This article mentions, by the way, that these pills that are sold out in much of the Western United States, and even further, by the way, even places like Texas are sold out of the iodine now. These tablet packs that would normally cost $10 or so in a pharmacy are now being sold online for as much as $500 each. So people see that, and that makes them panic more. So we were talking about this on Friday. We were talking about, I guess it was Friday or Thursday, that the first radiation started showing up in the United States. The first I heard about it was passengers who were landing at Chicago's O'Hare Airport had low levels of radiation if they were coming from Japan, right? Certain parts of Japan. And then
How low?
I mean,
a
billionth of what you'd ever have to start worrying about.
Okay.
That's amazing to me is how unbelievable the technology is to be able to read, levels that low. And then you started hearing about ships that were arriving onto the California coast were starting to show signs of radiation too. But there's no danger. And then we started talking about this on Friday after the show. We started thinking exactly what Kevin said is, would the government tell us if, in fact, this radiation was blowing right into us and all of us were going to start growing a third arm right now?
Whipping people into a needless frenzy!
We say no.
I gotta agree with you. I mean, that really is upsetting to me that they wouldn't be straight with the people and tell us what's going on so that we could make the decisions that we think are best for ourselves and our family. But I kind of feel like they wouldn't tell us.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I love conspiracy theorists, but I'm not a typical conspiracy theorist. But look, iodine pills are already sold out and selling on eBay for $500. So if you think people wouldn't panic.
Yeah, they're already panicking based on nothing.
And our government doesn't exactly have a perfect record of honesty.
You know? That's true.
There's a lot of reason to doubt what's coming out of the government because it seems like they say the opposite of what's really going on. But here's a little news piece. This is, what's his name, Alex Jones, Bean?
Yes, that's right, from InfoWars.
This is the ultimate conspiracy theorists. This is the dude who is the king of all conspiracies.
Radiation levels in Alaska elevated but not harmful. And as you read deeper in here, it sounds like they're hedging their bets, kind of like the Japanese did on Friday and Saturday, saying we don't know if they're elevated, but they might be elevated. And now we know. We have radiation maps. It's much worse than what they had said. The Pentagon is reporting that hundreds of miles out, 200 miles out, ships have been exposed to radiation. And we know the winds are coming towards the west coast of the United States and Canada. And Alaska is one of the first places they believe it may hit.
Now, that guy does the exact opposite for me as the government. If I hear from that guy, I go, well, then whatever he's saying isn't true.
Right.
Well, we want to take some telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Whippy people! Into a needless frenzy!
We have a two-part question for you. Part one is, do you think the government would tell us if the radiation threat were more serious than it is? Okay? And number two is, should the government tell us if the radiation threat is more serious? Maybe they won't tell us, but that's the right call. I don't know.
If I find out that all of the families of government workers are shuttled to in the middle of Montana somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Someone's going to have hell to pay. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And as you said earlier, and again, the phone number, 1-800-520-1067. As you said earlier, the deal that you want is you just want to be on that short list of people in the know.
Right.
Screw everybody else, right? Screw all of us, just as long as you can get your family out.
Yeah.
Sure, everyone feels that way.
Let's try Johnny. He's on line one, first to weigh in on this on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, talking about the threat of radiation from Japan. What do we really know is true? What should we know? Johnny, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
I think it's population control by the government.
Whoa. So, wait a minute. So you don't think it's from Japan at all, or you think it is from Japan and our government is just going to use it to thin the herd?
Exactly.
You don't really think that, though.
You never know.
All right. What about the central question, which is, would the government tell us? I guess you're saying no. Should they tell us? What's your opinion, Johnny?
They wouldn't tell us. They'd tell the people that they give the antidote to the people who have the money, the people that matter.
Bastards.
All the little people are going down.
Well said. Well
Johnny's
said.
Whipping people into a needless frenzy.
All the little people are going down.
Johnny's pretty good at whipping people into a needless frenzy. Thank you for the call, Johnny. Here's an email from Brittany who says, I'm really upset to hear that there's no radiation heading our way. I was really looking forward to becoming a superhero. And I'm not sure that's how it works. Let's try one more before the break. How about Tony, line six? Hi, Tony. Thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Should the government tell us? Would the government tell us? That's what we're talking about here on the Kevin Bean Show. Go ahead, Tony.
You know, maybe there's nothing that big, and why would they want to tell us? I mean, would you really want to know if your skin's going to fall off?
Yes.
Bean would.
Yes, I would.
No, I would not want to know.
See, Tony's my people. Tony's put your head in the sand.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, but look, if they came out and said, the radiation's on the way, it's bad now, it's getting worse, you would like at least the opportunity to be able to get in your car and start driving east to try to run from it, wouldn't you? Because the further away you get from the radiation, the safer you are.
You would want to hide your kids and hide your wife.
You wouldn't want to do that. Yes, you would.
I would want to hide, but the fact is we're not going to be able to drive faster than the rain. We're not going to be able to drive faster than the radiation. So if it's going to get us, it's going to get us.
But you can make a foil suit.
You could make a foil suit.
You can make a foil suit.
How do you think of that?
Oh, that's true. That is true.
So Tony says he doesn't really want to know. And you think the government would play along? They probably wouldn't tell you anyway?
No, they wouldn't tell us. Why would they? Let their kids be safe.
All right, I got you.
Well, the reason why they would is because they're the government and they're here to help us.
What? Say those two things again back to back, Bean. That was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. All right, thank you very much for the call. We'll take more calls on this. What say you on the Kevin and Bean Show right after this?
Whippy people into a needless frenzy.
I'm not the only one in his head right now thinking, detachable penis. Right? Yeah. That's everybody, right? That's
absolutely.
Everybody. Andrew Siciliano, the host of The Final Score on FSN, with a breakdown of this weekend's exciting basketball action, the NCAA tournament. That's coming up next hour. Comedian Doug Benson joins us later, too. Right now, we're whipping you into a needless frenzy.
Sorry. Say it again. Take two.
We're whipping you into a needless frenzy.
Whipping people into a needless frenzy.
If you're just joining us, low levels of radiation have already hit America as a result of the fallout from the Japanese nuclear disaster, who, by the way, played South by Southwest this weekend. They were spectacular. But we were wondering if the government would even tell us if, in fact, there were a serious threat with this radiation. And I think we've come to the conclusion, no. But we're taking your calls on this, what you think, at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Brian. He's on line two. He thinks the government would say something. He thinks the government would tell us. Brian, why are you wrong?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. You think the government would tell us?
Yes, absolutely. And I think they've proven that by telling all the Americans in Japan. But it's for selfish reasons. It's to keep all of their voters.
But wait a second. They're telling Americans in Japan because the Americans in Japan are in a serious threat situation because they're so close to the radiation.
Well,
if you're
I mean,
in San Francisco, you don't have to worry about it. If you're if you're living in the neighborhood next to where the nuclear power plant is, you're in trouble.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people think that they are right next to it.
Yeah.
That they think it is that serious, so.
Well, I know, but that's because we're
whippy people into a needless frenzy.
But you really, honestly, you really think the government would come out and tell us and give us an accurate threat assessment?
Not necessarily accurate. It may be late, but I think they would.
Okay, well, late doesn't work. I mean, late is no.
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah, we're going to tell you the train is going to run you down in the tracks there, but after it's passed.
After it
I mean, that doesn't help. All right, Brian, thank you for the call.
The only thing that goes counter to that is that science can detect it. So it's not like the government has a monopoly on science.
Yes. Yeah, there are independent doctors out there who can give you advice on this. Here's an email from Rebecca, by the way, who had thyroid cancer. She says, these radiation pills are useless for this. There are potassium pills, which protect against thyroid cancer. The only way to get rid of thyroid cancer from ambient radiation is drinking it in contaminated fluids. The radiation gets into the ground, the cows eat the contaminated grass, and then the milk gets contaminated. The chances of this happening are so low, it's ridiculous. The iodine pills that people are now paying $500 on the internet for don't do anything to combat that kind of radiation.
Says the kind of radiation that is coming out there on the market trying to buy them all up.
In other words, the radiation that's coming through the air across the ocean is not what iodine pills will help you with. That's from radiation that you ingest.
Right.
So, again, you're wasting your time, wasting your money if you think you're protecting yourself this way.
We're trying to throw everyone off so we can get it all. All right, let's do Robert. Let's talk to Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's going on?
You're a former nuclear engineer, it says here.
Yep.
I find that hard to believe, but not because of you, but we don't attract the super smart types.
No.
No.
Why aren't you on NPR right now, dude?
In the Navy, I operated the nuclear reactors on board the aircraft carriers.
All right.
Okay. So tell me what part of this statement is incorrect then, since you're an expert. The radiation is going to kill half of the American population.
What?
The whole thing? No, you know what? Radiation is one of these things that when people hear about it, they get all weirded out, and it's because they really just don't understand what really goes on. I mean, the reactors right now are essentially shut down. They just can't keep water on them, so they're melting down. But it's not like you have fission going on. They're not, you know, the reactors aren't actually producing power or doing anything. They're just melting down.
Right, but isn't that bad in itself?
Well, no, if you look at what, like, Three Mile Island, when Three Mile Island melted down their core, it was contained within their primary containment. The amount of radiation that actually went out of Three Mile Island, you get more from a chest x-ray than what actually went out of Three Mile Island.
So what you're saying, then, is chest x-rays will kill you.
No.
Hang on, note to self, no more chest x-rays.
So you're saying the radiation, even for the people in Japan, it is not something that is going to cause them health problems. This isn't like being in the aftermath of a nuclear bomb like happened in World War II, right?
No, absolutely not. The only people that are really, really at danger are the guys that are actually there.
All right, Robert, let me ask.
That are literally within, like, a very close proximity of the reactor, because most of the really, really bad particles are real short-lived. And the particles they're saying that are being released in the atmosphere are blocked by your clothing, by your skin. It's the same type of, like, radiation that you get from the sun.
All right.
Wow.
Now,
how about that?
One last question, Robert. Do you think the government would try to pull the wool over our eyes, or do you think they would just come out and say it?
No, they can't, because there's way too many nuclear agencies all on top of it. And the way they try to fearmonger everybody. I mean, you have the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency. You have the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
So it would come out regardless.
All these different organizations. The United States Navy has two aircraft carriers over there. I have friends on board those carriers.
Tell them to come back immediately.
But look, let me ask you this. And by the way, you're muddying our whole argument up with facts, and that's very distressing.
That was my whole point.
I know, but listen,
that's not our point.
We've got a president who's not even an American. How can we trust him? How can we trust a guy born in another country to tell us what's best for America?
Yeah, you know. I've been reading all the news stories, and I don't like it because I truly believe that nuclear energy is a way to get us off of fossil fuels.
Yeah,
and you can operate reactors safely. The Navy's done it ever since the 50s and never had a nuclear accident. France has done it, never had a nuclear accident.
No, I hear you. And look, if no one ends up dying as a result of the nuclear part of what's bad in Japan right now, and it survived a 9.0 earthquake, I think nuclear reactors are fairly safe. I think they've proven that if nobody dies from this. All right, so those are the facts. You're saying don't worry. Don't buy the iodine pills. Don't pack up your car and start driving to New Jersey. Just chill. That's your advice.
Yes, please. I mean, if you're buying the iodine pills, you got a serious problem.
I think Robert's with the government.
That's it.
Because he was in the Navy, right?
Right.
So he's telling us, he's towing the company line.
You're part of the problem, Robert.
Whipping people into a needless frenzy.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph has the showbiz beat for a Monday coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, give me that theme song from that Celebrity Apprentice. Oh, what a season this is. Kevin, you seem like you're a little bit behind. You haven't been really keeping up with the Celebrity Apprentice this year.
I didn't see it this week because my satellite was out. So,
unbelievable cast. And every Monday, we'd like to catch up with the Donald and find out what happened on last night's episode from his perspective. Hey, Mr. President, how are you?
Good morning. How are you fellas doing?
June is when you're going to announce. You're going to let us know by June whether you're actually running for president or not. Is that the latest they hear?
I do have a group of my people working on it. We're going to make a decision whether I will be running for president of these United States by June.
Right. Can't we just all admit that that's not going to happen and move on?
No, we can't.
All right.
I haven't yet made my decision.
Right.
I need to talk to Don Jr.
Sure.
And Ivanka. And Kaplinka and Kaplinko and all my other vaguely Slavic-sounding children.
Well, I just tell you, you got my vote if you decide to run, Don. That's all
I'm
saying.
I appreciate that.
So last night, you got the men and the women against each other on Celebrity Apprentice, and last night their task has something to do with the camping experience. You go to Camping World, and you buy yourself an RV, and you set it up, and you try to sell it, and you try to make it look good. The task itself was unimportant last night. I loved the reaction from your African-American cast members, including NeNe from The Real Housewives of Hell, when she heard out what the challenge was.
Camping!
and little John, by the way, same thing. It was like you asked them to move to Mars when you started talking to them about camping. Do black people not camp, Donald?
I'm so surprised that coming from Africa, they're not more comfortable with the wilderness.
Wow.
I don't think they're from Africa at all.
My bad.
I was just so surprised by that. So the great Gary Busey is picked as the leader of the men's team, and you ask him to step up and meet the representative from Camping World, and this is just a taste of how bizarre Gary Busey was last night. Listen closely.
Gary, it's interesting. Come here, Gary. Say hello to him. Shake his hand.
How do you do? I know nothing's free, but my heart to your heart is free.
Okay.
You hear that?
I heard it.
Nothing's free, but my heart to your heart is free, is what he said last night.
Never spoken.
Well, maybe. What does that mean?
It means that from heart to heart, that Robert Wagner.
You don't know, do you?
And Jennifer Powers.
That's an old show. That has nothing to do with this.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But Gary,
I love trotting Gary Busey out like some sort of trained animal for people.
That's true.
Very entertaining.
Shake his hand. Shake his hand.
Watch him. Watch this guy do a trick now. Hey, Gary. Squat down and go relieve yourself on a fire hydrant.
Yes, you do put Gary in lots of situations where he can embarrass himself, but it seems like you like to make Marley Matlin sing, too. I don't know. I just think you're getting sadistic on this show. I don't know what the deal is.
I keep myself entertained somehow.
I guess.
Right. Yeah. So John Rich, who is a very good player on the men's team, he's the country music star, Donald. You know that band Big and Rich that he's in? You're familiar with them?
No, I am not.
Okay.
Is he in that?
You're lucky.
He is. Yes, he's Rich of Big and Rich.
I thought he was Rascal.
He decides that he's going to write a little jingle for Camping World because he feels like, hey, music speaks to everybody, right? And Richard Hatch makes the cardinal sin, as the guys are discussing their campaign, of potentially making fun of country music fans, and John Rich will not abide by that.
Everybody, come on down to Camping World.
So okay, what kind of music would you use for everybody?
Not country, not backward. Less educated.
I will not be happy if anybody stereotypes my audience as low intelligent,
or folks that can't think or have their own money.
Which is why I brought it out.
And if anybody in this van wants to step up on that subject, I will be more than happy to square off with you about it.
Yeah!
So what John Rich is saying is, I want to show you how sophisticated my people are by fighting you if you disagree with me, right?
I'll tell you something. He's got a point. Anyone who thinks country music fans are low intelligence is crazy because, face it, they find sex partners right there in their own family. And what could be easier and more convenient than that? I think they really have a knack.
Now, over on the girls' team, one of the funniest things that I've seen this season is, so you've got Nikki Taylor, the former supermodel, who's still so hot, right? Yes. Donald, I guess you would try to marry her, except she's too old for you.
And she's all busted up inside.
That's right. She was in that car accident. And then I always forget what her, I can never pronounce her last name, but who's your Playmate of the Year that's a contestant this year on Celebrity Apprentice?
Heather DeRozic.
Right. So she and Nikki are deciding that they're going to write some copy for this Camping World. And they, between the two of them, they can't figure out, I'm not joking, Kevin, they can't figure out which century it is.
What?
They can't figure out whether it's the 20th or the 21st century, and they decide they have to Google it. I'm not joking.
All right. It's a 20th century Camping World experience.
21st century.
Imagine if it's the wrong century.
Is that right?
Wait, I'm gonna Google it.
It's the current century.
So this is the 21st century for 100 years. Hmm? It's gonna be the 21st century for the rest of our lives.
Right, exactly. So we're good. We're covered.
I don't know why that was so hard for us. It's quite embarrassing.
Yes, it kind of is. Wow. What about that? You like your women pretty and dumb, right, Donald? So maybe she's perfect for you.
They are so lucky they have cans. Speaking of cans, did you see my daughter last night?
Oh, I was just going to bring up Ivanka.
Yum.
Whoa. Okay, that's gross to hear you say.
I was a country music fan.
Wait,
you know what I'm
saying? No, Donald. No. She's a lovely young woman, but you can't be with her. You know that, right?
I know. Don't rub it in.
You shouldn't even want to.
No, you shouldn't look at her like that. So Ivanka shows up to see how the guys are doing and setting up their campsite. And here's some classic vintage Gary Busey when he's talking to Ivanka. And you can tell she's just as confused as we are.
So how are you guys working together?
I feel good about everything.
Consider yourselves lucky.
I'm going to give you the definition of lucky with the word just spell it.
Now or later?
Now.
Okay.
L-U-C.
Okay, so here's what Gary does.
Oh,
this is,
dear God,
this is Gary's thing, is he takes a word and then he makes it an anagram and he starts assigning other words to every letter in the word. Here's what he's come up with for lucky.
L-U-C-K-Y stands for Living Under Correct Knowledge Yearly.
How do you come up with this?
What I do is I take the letters of the word and spell the word and create a definition for the word.
Like freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M. Facing real exciting energy. Developing out of miracles.
You are a character. I can't say that I've ever worked with anyone quite like Gary because I think there are no other Garys. He is a complete original in every sense of the word.
She says that as if it's a compliment, by the way.
Yeah. Busey, by the way, B-U-S-E-Y. Be unintelligible and stupid every year.
Donald, how dare you?
Well, they get to the boardroom, and it turns out that the guys win the challenge. They had the best
Can
display.
Can you believe that?
For Camping World. I know. They barely
Gary
worked that
Busey
at all.
Gary Busey was their project manager, and they won.
Well, and they
how
won.
How stupid are women?
I didn't see it, but in spite of him or because of him?
It doesn't matter. All He's right. on their team. They won it all as a miracle.
All right.
Yeah, you're right. If you can't beat Gary Busey, you've got no business playing the game. But the one highlight from the boardroom that I had to bring up is Oscar-nominated actress Marley Matlin, who you seem to be a little sweet on, Donald, if I'm not mistaken about this.
She is one hot deaf chick.
You never miss an opportunity to sexualize her, to basically make her feel like she's just a piece of meat and she's not there for any other skills that she might have. Listen to this exchange from the boardroom last night.
What did you think of Marley?
Oh my gosh, she's a demon. When it comes to the bedroom and the bathroom,
what does that mean when it comes to the bedroom?
No, come on.
Are you surprised that got his attention? Come on.
Oh my goodness.
I've heard that before, Marley, in a very positive way. You know, I've heard that before, Marley.
Just not from women.
I don't know if you liked it. It's a great compliment.
It's a compliment? It's a really compliment. To say that, Donald?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
She's a demon in the bedroom. Oh, I would wreck her if I had a chance. I'd make her moan so hard she'd break a finger.
So since the ladies lost, that means somebody has to get fired. It was the least exciting firing of any season of a Celebrity Apprentice because Nikki Taylor basically just shows up and she says, I got no one else to blame but me. I was the project manager. All my team did great.
She just wants out.
I take responsibility, and here's how it ends.
So you are totally willing to accept responsibility. You're not going to blame Dion.
Nope.
You're not going to blame anybody.
Nope.
Nikki, you're fantastic, but other than that, you're fired.
So she's gone, so we're down another woman for another week. I just want to know, Donald, when is the Meatloaf-Gary Busey fight going to be, and when is the Lely and Star Jones fight going to be? You've been promoting those for months now.
Why in the hell would I tell you that? I want you to keep watching every week.
Yeah,
true. Well, that's a good point.
So I make you tune in to watch the crazy people fight each other. I throw some raw meat in the middle of the floor after starving them for 2 weeks and let them go crazy.
I can't wait.
That's exactly what happened. Thanks, Don. Picture the worst imaginable thing that Lisa May could have eaten over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mind reels.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then go a couple of notches below that, and that's what she ate. And we've got that story for you apparently coming up after the top of the hour. Something that no person would ever intentionally eat.
Kale?
Lisa May did.
Was it kale?
I mean,
did Lisa eat?
It's not in the food category, Ralph. No. You're going to definitely want to stick around and find out.
Meteor.
Yes.
How did you guess?
I have a knack. Because I'm glowing.
That is on the way here to the Kevin Beach Show. Now it's time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away to the special Kevin and Bean advance screening of Source Code.
Yay!
It happens Wednesday, March the 30th. If you'd like to see this movie before anybody else, because it'll be in theaters on April the 1st, I'm not kidding. That's not some April Fool's gag. It's really going to be in theaters. You can see Jake Gyllenhaal and Michelle Monaghan and Vera Farmiga and Jeffrey Wright. Great cast in this action thriller about a soldier who wakes up in the body of an unknown man and discovers he's part of a mission to find a bomber on a Chicago commuter train. And he fails, and they just put him back in. They fails, and he just put him back in. He keeps blowing up over and over and over again and keeps waking up in the same dude.
Why don't they put someone else in there?
Because
that's a good point.
They need him to find the bomb and to disarm the bomb and to save the train.
Which he failed doing.
But he'll get it eventually, I guess they figure.
How many trains need to blow up before he gets it?
I don't know.
Right.
If you'd like to go, be one of the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. As I mentioned, it's in theaters everywhere. Friday, April the 1st. You can go to enterthesourcecode.com for more information. Because we're talking about movies and because it's Monday, we take a look at the big box office winners over the weekend. Limitless was number one this weekend. $19 million made it. So,
see that?
I did not see Limitless, no. Anyone see Limited, Kevin's film?
Yeah. I live that, man.
You do live that.
That's not fun.
Rango was $15.3 million. It was number two this weekend. Battle Los Angeles dropped to third this weekend. Then The Lincoln Lawyer and Paul. Rounding up the top five, Red Riding Hood, The Adjustment Bureau, Mars Needs Mom's Beastly, and Hall Pass, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Interesting story over the weekend in the New York Daily News talking about Rebecca Black and Friday, the smash hit single Friday, which we talked about last week.
Sure.
Remember, today AA is Friday, yesterday was Thursday, tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday comes after words.
That's a song.
She's 13 years old. She's taking quite the pounding on the internet.
Yeah.
A lot of people making fun of her. Yeah, but a lot of people also downloading her song from iTunes and going to YouTube to see the video. Over, I think it's about 16 million views now on YouTube.
But is that what you want? I mean, when you're 13.
She is being bullied a little bit in the comments section on YouTube. I'll give you that. However, she's selling a lot of records and a lot of people know who she is.
Sure.
They said on that Good Morning America interview that you brought us on Friday that her song on iTunes had sold more than 2 million downloads just on Thursday.
Yeah, I think she's 29th in the top 100 right now.
How about that?
Simon Cowell says, it's great. He said, I would love to have her as an artist. I mean, the publicity, there's no such thing as bad publicity is what Simon is saying. I counter with, unless you're a 13-year-old girl with self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
Then it could be worse. But apparently this is not a one-off. This is perhaps inventing a new genre of music.
Oh, no.
According to the New York Post, it's starting to become a little bit of a phenomenon. This horrible preteen pop, which I have coined pre-op. Because apparently Jenna Rose, 12-year-old Jenna Rose, now has a single that's climbing the charts.
Oh, is it as bad as Friday?
Getting a lot of attention on YouTube. It's over a million views so far and climbing rapidly over the weekend. Jenna Rose, her single is called My Jeans, and about, as you can imagine, not her DNA. It is not about gene splicing, no, it is about the kind of jeans you buy at the shopping mall.
This is ARC Music Factory or whatever they're called also, Ralph?
I don't believe. I believe ARC Music may have a competing label of badness. I wanted to bring you, though, a little taste of my jeans so you can get an idea of what's happening out there.
I see Hannah Montana's wearing my jeans. Ashley Tisdale's wearing my jeans. Kiki Palmer's wearing my jeans. I just can't believe they wore those jeans. She wore those jeans.
Yeah, it's an entire song dedicated to a pair of designer jeans.
Dude, Friday is now the golden age of songwriting in this country, right?
Did she create those jeans, or she just bought them as well?
She just bought them.
Okay.
And she's thrilled to find that other teen pop stars are wearing her jeans.
Wouldn't you say that she's wearing their jeans?
That's what I would say, but Jenna Rose has a very high opinion of herself. There is an obligatory rap breakdown in the middle.
Of course.
By a rapper named Baby Triggy, who comes in, and does his shtick, to which I ask, why are all these 12 and 13 year olds hanging out with these rappers? That seems like a bad precedent to be setting. And then she has a set of lyrics, which I thought the Friday lyrics, where they told us where Friday falls in the course of the week, would be the worst lyrics we'd ever encounter, until I heard this musical gem from Jenna Rose about her jeans.
Look, there she goes.
A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, that girl wore her jeans like me. I bet she's mad, cause I look fat. Ha 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 ha, jack my swag. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but mine look new, and hers just looks so
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Ralph, the music is terrible. It's a horrible song, but why can't they find someone who can sing to do it?
I don't know, man.
They don't need to. They've got the auto-tune, man.
1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Ha, 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 ha. Jack my swag. Jack my swag.
That's pretty good.
Stop it, America.
Stop it, America. I mean, come on now.
There's My Jeans by Jenna Rose. Get your copy now before they're all sold out. I don't even know what that means. But today's celebrity birthday is Timothy Dalton, one of the James Bondses. He's 65 years old. Gary Oldman from the Batman films is 53. Eddie Money celebrates his 62nd birthday. Matthew Broderick is 49. As is Rosie O'Donnell. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Green Day on the way. Also, Rise Against and Temper Trap here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks a lot for joining us. Doug Benson next hour. He's part of the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness coming up just a couple of weekends from right now. Lisa May.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It could have been better.
It's funny because we always ask each other that when we come to work on Monday morning. And none of us really do anything exceptional, so we just go, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, I went to a movie, oh, I did that. And then Lisa said something this morning that stopped us in our tracks, so we went, whoa! You did what?
Now, do we need any kind of a warning on this conversation?
Probably.
Or anything like that?
I don't know what kind, though. Do we have this kind of warning?
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Let me add this one.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
And finally, essentially, this one.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
I hope not.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
All right.
Please ask your children to leave the room.
All right.
Okay.
What did you eat?
So Saturday night.
Hang on, we have a jingle. Oop, I don't want to give it away. Sorry.
Okay. Saturday night, we picked up some Italian food for dinner.
Yes.
Brought it home.
Yes.
And we had some fabulous lasagna and salad and toasted garlic bread and wine.
And so
finish eating, sit back in the chair, put both my dogs, I got these big wide chairs, put both the dogs up on the chair with me, drinking some wine, talking. Get done with that, put the dogs on the floor, start clearing. Notice a big garlic bread crumb on my seat that I'd just been sitting in.
Okay.
A little bit messy. And I plucked that right up and put it in my mouth. Gave it a couple of chews and realized that was not, in fact, a garlic bread crumb.
And this is
so your dogs
seat where your dogs had.
Let's see if we can figure this out. So your dogs are sitting on the chair.
Mm-hmm,
and you think you've spilled.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it immediately in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've had a couple glasses of wine.
Sure.
Maybe not thinking as clearly as I should have been.
Right. How long did it take to sink in that this is not garlic?
Two chews. Two good, solid chews.
One chew fine?
Wouldn't you? The taste hadn't really hit yet.
No problem.
Right.
All right.
But it wasn't crunchy. So
okay.
That was my first.
All right. So the texture was your first clue.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
I don't like this.
Second chew. Realize.
But you're still chewing at full speed now in the second chew. You're not backing off yet.
Not yet.
Okay, good.
Nope.
So
good,
the second chew.
Good solid full. I mean, now it's breaking apart in my mouth.
Right. So, and this is all happening pretty quickly, of course.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Did
yeah.
you go for the third chew? And
did I start to go, and then it hit me.
And then your mind went, no, no, no.
No, stop. What is in your mouth?
So, not the first time you've asked that question. So, what did you do then? How fast?
Well, you don't want to waste it.
I ran to the sink screaming.
There are starving children in Africa.
And started flushing my mouth out with water. And then I went in the bathroom and I brushed and I brushed
sweet.
And I brushed.
You'll never get that out.
I never will.
Lisa eats poo.
Oh, no, Lisa. Lisa, no.
It was about a slightly bigger than a Junior Mint.
Oh!
And if I'd been eating Junior Mints, it would have made more sense that I
sure.
put that in my mouth.
But it looked like a...
I don't know. It kind of looked like a big...
All right, let me ask you this. If you spill on the chair or on the floor or whatever, do you always just grab it?
I just lick it right out.
Okay, all right.
That's
what she said.
Because this is what I was thinking. If I find food underneath where I'm sitting, that food is done. I pick that up, I scoop that up, and throw that away. I'm with Lisa.
I mean, I have like a 10-second rule, but it depends on where it is. If I'm comfortable with it, it's a 30-second rule.
I'm a pretty big fan of garlic bread, toasted garlic bread,
so.
Too. I mean, that was delicious.
Good to the last
one
drop.
One more bite, you know.
So let me ask you this. So, Kevin, if you're having potato chips or something like that, and they start falling on the rug,
right.
I mean, do you get down and pick all the chips up off the rug and eat them too?
Probably.
I mean, let's be honest.
But I've never made this mistake ever.
Oh my God. Lisa, did your boyfriend kiss you goodnight?
No. Now that you mention it.
are your dogs still laughing?
Yeah. You know, the thing that really struck me is that you know what poo tastes like when you taste it.
Really?
I mean, we've never tasted that before, right? But the second chew and I go, that's poo.
Oh.
Well, like, you know.
I guess you would know, yeah. I don't know.
Isn't that weird, though?
I've never
done the worst conversation you've ever brought to us.
It wasn't a good night.
She ate? Wow.
I did. It was, yeah.
Did you? All right, now, let me ask you this. Did you then go, hey, that wasn't so bad?
No.
And start following your dogs around?
No, I really didn't.
All right, let me ask you this, then. And I'm not trying to be gross, but seriously.
Well, don't say it, then.
Were there nuts?
Oh,
no,
come on.
Bean.
Come on.
Because
that would have made it worth
nuts.
It, Bean.
Might have added a little
at
flavor.
At least it would have some food value.
Exactly. At least it'd be some food. How
or
about
some
corn?
Corn.
Wow. Oh,
no.
Lisa. Why not just take him outside for that like most people do with their dogs?
What do you mean?
Instead of letting him do it in your house.
They don't do it in my house. It had to have been stuck. No, apparently it was stuck to somebody's butt and I didn't notice.
Oh,
and then when I put him in the chair,
worse.
You know, it
wow.
ended up on the chair.
Who's hungry?
if the setup for the romantic Italian dinner and wine was love, that wasn't happening. That's the worst foreplay ever.
I don't think it'll be happening for a long time, boys.
Maybe not for a very long time.
I gotta be honest.
You probably lost a boyfriend.
I think I might have.
Yeah. I just know that there
That's
is something.
That's a deal breaker for me. If I'm there's... dating a girl and she's doing that, I'm out.
There are some things he used to really, really like you to do that he doesn't want you to do anymore.
Although it opens up a whole new avenue.
Lisa eats poo.
Who's hungry?
By the way, Lisa, getting a lot of response to the unfortunate discussion that we just had.
Yeah.
Who's hungry?
Ronald writes in, Lisa, don't you think the dog would have eaten it if it was food? I mean, that's really...
that was such a good point.
Dog would have done that either way, by the way.
Well, you could be right about that. Speaking of email, we do appreciate hearing from you. We got a few to read for you here right now. Hi, Bean. Sorry, this is out of date. I'm a podcast listener from Scotland. This is Douglas wow. writing in it. I'm a few weeks behind, but I just heard a discussion you guys were having with people who have terrible names. I've met a bunch of them in my life. In third place, there's a guy that I work with whose name is Tim Burr.
See?
His name is Timber. Timber.
Wow.
Second place, I was in a meeting last week, and this guy told me to give him a call tomorrow, handed me his business card. His name was, I'm not fooling, Dick Pounder.
Sure.
And the grand prize goes to a woman who used to come into a store I worked in as a kid. One day she was paying, she gave me her credit card, only for me to discover her name, which was Mrs. Julia Gobblesdick.
Come
Mrs.
on,
Julia
that's not true.
Gobblesdick. I don't know who I feel worse for, her or her husband. Thanks. Love the show. This is Douglas from Scotland.
That dude, Douglas from Scotland, is making stuff up.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's too sweet.
We were talking last week about the annual bet that I make with our friend Matt Money Smith. I've lost either 7 or 8 years in a row and have ended up owing money $100 a year for the baseball bet that we make.
It's not because Bean won 1 year that he's unclear. It's just however many years they bet, he's lost every time.
Everyone.
I've never won. We always bet on Mariners versus Angels, and I always lose. So we got a ton of suggestions. Gwenda writes in. Gwenda is her name, by the way. Here's a couple different ways you might think about paying off your losing bet to money if you really want to make him miserable. You can buy uncut $1 or $5 sheets of money from the United States Mint. Did you know that?
No.
I can call the Mint up and buy one big sheet of dollar bills and however many I need to make $100. That would be annoying for money, right?
And then he just has to cut it?
And then he would have to cut it himself. Yeah. How about a variety of small quantity, less than $5 gift cards for places he doesn't go to, like Victoria's Secret or Lane Brand?
Sweet. Not Victoria's Secret, though, because at least he sees hot models in there.
And he might use it for his wife, too. Yeah. How about a money lei with small denominations of bills? That's cash folded up and linked together to make a Hawaiian lei or some sort of origami, like a flower bouquet.
Wow.
Gwen just put a lot of thought on this. And finally, I can't imagine I'll do this, but bake a coin into a cookie. Be sure to wrap them to protect the cookie. My friends gave me $20 for my birthday in dimes, nickels, and pennies. They did it this way. It was actually easy for them to wrap the coins fairly quickly by lining them up in a row, folding the foil over them, and cutting them apart to finish wrapping before sticking each one into a cookie. It took me forever to pull the change out of the cookies and unwrap them. So Gwenda, apparently an expert on this, and she's giving me some good ideas.
You're doing $100 worth of that.
Yes.
Here's a suggestion from Tony. Give him $100 worth of heroin, and he will have to sell that to cash in. That's a great idea.
Greetings, Kevin and Bean. Oh, this is a good email from Mike. I'm glad he wrote in because our own Psycho Mike tonight debuts on Dancing with the Stars. He and his partner Lacey Schwimmer are going to be dancing on live national television tonight. Now
I have a question, Bean.
Yes, go ahead.
Is this ballroom dancing still?
Well, they do variations of different sorts of dancing, but it's not all ballroom.
Mostly in a ballroom, though?
Yes,
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, you're not going to be watching?
I can't watch. I love Mike, but I can't watch.
I have to watch because it's Mike.
You enjoy that.
I never watch Dancing with the Stars, but I have to watch.
All right.
Greetings, Kevin and Bean. As with most of your listeners, A, I do not watch Dancing with the Stars. B, I am lazy. I do, however, want to vote for Psycho Mike when the time comes. As a public service announcement, could you please tell us how and when to vote on the day of the competition? Maybe put a link on the Kevin and Bean page with easy instructions. Is it online? Is it phone only? Do you have his number ahead of time? Blah, 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 blah. Love the interview with Lacey Schwimmer, Mike's partner that we had the other day. She seems like the perfect fit for Mike. I'm just trying to do my part for the rest of the lazy-ass Kevin and Bean listeners. As it is, this email is already way more effort than I was planning for. Well, I got great news for you, Mike. First of all, if you go to KevinandBean.com, you will see an exhaustive article about Dancing with the Stars and about Psycho Mike and his many, many fine contributions to the Kevin and Bean Show over the years. Everything you ever wanted to know about Mike is on the website right now. You will also find the phone number, which, by the way, is 1-800-VOTE-4-10. 1-800-VOTE, the number 4-10. That's the number to call in for Team Schwimmerwood, as they're calling it, by the way. Lacey Schwimmer and Mike Catherwood, it's Team Schwimmerwood. And you can go to KevinandBean.com and it'll tell you when the voting is open and when you can start dialing, whether or not you are watching the show. Now, my understanding, and again, I don't watch the show, but my understanding is tonight you can vote, but no one will be kicked off.
Well, then why vote? What's the...
I don't know. Why I don't know that? Why they... Lisa, you watched the show or have watched the show. Do they vote on the first episode?
I don't remember. Honestly, it's been a couple of years since I watched.
I'm going to vote against Mike Catherwood.
Listen, don't do that.
Listen, I like Mike a lot, but I've got to get Beer Mug out of here.
You want Mike to come back to work.
The quicker he gets kicked off, the quicker Beer Mug goes.
I know you can vote online this year. That is new. And, of course, you can dial up and vote on the phone, 1-800-VOTE-410. But that is going to be tonight. Please do what you can to support our friend Psycho Mike. I at least want to see him get a few weeks down in the competition, right? I don't want him to be the first guy going.
No,
although
definitely.
You would love that, right, Kevin? You would think that was hilarious.
I told him before he left he has to be the first off, because I would find that funny. And finally, the Kevin and Bean Morning Show should sponsor a bad songwriting contest. What do you think generated this particular email? What song do you think?
I wonder.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Well, once that song went viral a couple of Fridays ago, everybody said it's the worst song of all time. And then that started the debate. No, it's not. This song is worse. And I guess that's what the caller is saying.
Right. But they're saying we should sponsor a bad songwriting contest as if anyone could top that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, where do you go from there? So the winner would get a video produced by ARC, which is this company that produced and supposedly wrote that song, and at least one play on the air. Who knows? You might outsell Friday. I doubt it, by the way. It seems to me like it'd be very difficult to write a worse song. However, we do have a celebrity version of this if you'd like to hear that. We have David Bowie doing his version of Friday, and this is actually makes it good. And I think that's the direction we should be going with this whole thing.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend. Yesterday was Thursday, Thursday. Today is Friday, Friday. We so excited. We so excited. We're gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday. And Sunday comes afterwards. I don't want this weekend to end. Friday, 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 Friday. Thursday was yesterday.
Okay.
Today is Friday, tomorrow Saturday.
So you can see that song's pretty bad anyway.
Sunday comes afterwards.
He misses a second. Jackson had it. Can't hold on. And that won't do it. Mark Gay. Upset. Third seeded Syracuse. On a Darius Johnson Odom cold jumper, 66-62. Wow.
We just wanted to make sure Andrew Siciliano was in a good mood when he came on to talk about this weekend's basketball. What happened with your Orange Men there, Andrew?
I hate you guys.
See, that's Andrew's school, and we have him on to talk about the NCAA.
That hurt. But look, that's what this past weekend was all about, was heartbreak. I mean, look, who didn't have a team they were rooting for get eliminated? I don't know who to root for anymore. My Huskies are gone. The Gonzaga Bulldogs are gone. Who should I be pulling for now, Andrew?
I don't know. Do you want to pull for? I'll say this:
If you have a team, you know that.
If you go to Anaheim, because we have one of the four regions.
That's here, right.
Anaheim is going to have a great region. It's going to have Duke against Arizona. And that, you know, is going to be an Arizona home game. Half the West Side went to U of A, so that's going to be an Arizona home game. And then you have Connecticut against San Diego State, and you know all the drunks, I mean all the students at San Diego State will make the trip, the short trip to Anaheim. So that's a fantastic bracket. So go there and support the local.
Go there and enjoy that.
Exactly. How tough is it to get tickets to the next round of the playoffs if you happen to live near where they're being played?
It's probably not that hard. You're not going to go to the box office and find them. You got to go to the secondary market, your favorite ticket reseller, and find them. But they're easy to get. But the best way to get tickets for the second half of the bracket, so it's four teams and three games, right?
Okay, right.
So the best way is you stand outside the arena, and when one of those schools loses, the fans walk out and get rid of their tickets cheap.
Oh, sure.
Because they don't want to stick around now, and they probably are on the phone to the airlines trying to get out of there. Gotcha. And that's the same thing for the Final Four. After Saturday's games, you stand outside the building. This year it's going to be in Houston, and you try to buy the tickets off the guys that just lost, so they're going home early.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the bracket busting going on. Do you know anybody who had a good weekend who still really got a good bracket going, Andrew?
No, and it never is. Look, President Obama, maybe. I mean, after the first day, I think he was, after the first 2 days, I think he was, what, like 28-4 or something ridiculous but there's no way.
He's got a guy for that.
No, he did it all live on ESPN.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
he did.
Yeah,
but he's got the minister of March Madness or whatever they call him, and he just gives him all the action.
Exactly. It's a cabinet position.
Right. Exactly. If anyone played golf, he only picked favorites.
But yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at the Southwest. Look at San Antonio. They have a 12, an 11, a 10, and Kansas. You've never had three double-digit seeds in the regional finals or the regional semifinals in one bracket. It's never, ever, ever, ever happened before. You have two schools separated by 6 miles from the city of Richmond, for Pete's sake.
Wow.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
That is
what
bizarre.
Was your what was your favorite game of the weekend, the most exciting game for you, regardless of... Kevin knows this one. Let's hear what Andrew says.
Then. I have one.
Go ahead.
Well, let's hear what you say first.
I'd say the Pitt game. Yeah,
Pitt Butler.
Got to be Pitt Butler, right? Unbelievable. And the announcers are talking about, and I think we got a clip here in a second, they were talking about how they've never seen a game end like that before. Have you, Andrew?
No, and Jim Calhoun said the same thing, who's the Connecticut coach. He played later in the night. His team beat Cincinnati. But he said at the end of his game that he had never seen it before, ever in his entire life. You had two fouls called within 1.4 seconds, 1.4 left on the clock, two fouls called, and the game was decided with two just boneheaded, stupid decisions by veteran players at the end of games. And in the end, it's Butler that won. But, the same way, look at the Syracuse game, you had a player like Scoop Jardine, who's the Syracuse point guard number 11, who made two boneheaded decisions at the end of that game, and that, in essence, cost Syracuse the game. This weekend was really determined by players making bad decisions, and in a way, at times, referees making bad decisions, because at the end of the Washington-Carolina game, they gave Washington the shot with 0.5 left on the clock. It should have been 1.2. The officials erred and did not put more time back on the clock. The Huskies could have had more time to set up a play.
Well,
in the end, Carolina ends up winning.
I got to tell you, this was pure magic on the part of players who have learned their entire life to not make these fouls. Those
right.
Who don't follow basketball. If a guy is at half court
and he's
throwing it up with 1.4 seconds left, you get as far away from him as possible, and this happened.
And
to Van Zandt, he drives, left to Smith, he got it! Andrew Smith, the superstar! Van Zandt did it with the dribble drive again! There's a foul with 0.9 left! Brad Stevens can't believe it.
All right, so they fouled. That was with 0.9, then they realized it was 1.4 or whatever.
Right.
So the guy goes to the line and shoots a free throw, and then there's another foul.
I don't know that I've ever seen a game end like this in the NCAA tournament. I've been doing this for 16 straight years.
Missed it! Rebound Howard! Didn't we have a foul? I think we may have had a foul.
Oh, my goodness.
Allen McGee fouling.
Again?
Yes! I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like this. So Butler we'll go to the other end and have a chance to win it.
So the dude comes down with a rebound, and he wasn't half court. He was full court.
Yeah. And almost made it, by the way, even though it was technically after the buzzer.
So
that was an unbelievable
try. They went to the free throw line and beat him. That was crazy.
Guys, put it this way. The Butler coach, who's only 33, by the way.
He does look super young.
Yeah. The Butler coach, in the immediate moments after the game, so his team wins, they're jumping up and down, he's grabbed, he's live on CBS. They asked him immediately after his team won, and he said, yeah, I don't want to see a game end like that. I feel bad for Pitt. I really feel bad for Pitt. It was just excruciating.
But he would have felt bad for himself because they had fouled at 1.4 seconds.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, I've never seen more boneheaded plays in my entire life.
It was a boneheaded weekend. Speaking of which, boneheaded. You cannot bet on Dancing with the Stars here.
You're in Vegas, aren't you?
Judged. Vegas, you can't bet on the big board anything that's actually judged. You have to go offshore. But
go
I looked
Bodine.
It up. It's 7.5 to 1, right?
Well, it was 16 to 1 earlier.
It was
16 to 1
week.
That was Bodog's options, but they may have changed that as more information came out.
Someone move it to 15 to 2 for somewhere. Are you practicing or something? I don't know. How does that
Who knows?
I don't know either. This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano on the Kevin Bean Show, the host of the Final Score on FSN, and of course during the NFL season back when those used to happen on the Red Zone DirecTV. Two quick questions for you, Andrew, before you go, and you're awesome to squeeze this in because we know you're busy. You've probably got a hooker in the room that you're paying for right now. What do you think of Charles Barkley, who I think gets crazier and more entertaining every year with his commentary? He is off the chain this year.
Charles Barkley might be the greatest person to ever drink with. I'll just put it that way. And I'm not accusing him of doing anything illegal, but when he's in town doing a Laker game, if you could find him in a bar downtown, you'll have a good time.
But he's hilarious on the TBS game.
He's one of the nicest men out there, and he is hilarious. That said, I don't know that Charles watches a lot of college basketball,
I
think his commentary is even funnier because he's not watching.
Okay, good. He has a lot of opinions for a guy who doesn't know the game, doesn't he?
Man, that team ain't no good.
Wow, you're doing an impression, Andrew.
It's funny.
It is funny.
And he looks like he knows what he's talking about because he said the Big East isn't any good, which he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's the best.
But all the biggest teams are losing, so now he looks like he's, you know.
He looks super smart now because he said Notre Dame would lose in a bunch of the games that he picked. All right, last question. Yeah. The most impressive thing, because I had never watched him play before, is this Jimmer kid out of BYU who I'd never seen. He's unbelievable, right? Is he the guy that we're most likely to see that we're watching this month who's going to be an NBA player?
He is, right. I mean, there are a lot of guys. Like Derek Williams at Arizona is going to be a lottery pick, too. So there are a lot of guys out there that will be lottery picks. But Jimmer is the player of the year. He will win that award. He's the leading scorer in the nation. He single-handedly wins every game for BYU. He scores between 30 and 40, sometimes up to 50. He's absolutely breathtaking. He's that good.
Yeah, it was incredible watching him. Incredible. All right, Andrew Siciliano, man. Hey, what are you doing in Vegas? What are you there for? Just for fun?
My brother's here from the East Coast for a couple of days for work, so I'm crashing with him. And I wanted to see if I could bet on Mike. Tell Mike, please, to for a lot of people out there that don't like the Steelers, or maybe SC fans that are angry about Keith Rivers, to blindside Hines Ward, please.
Okay, all right. I don't think they dance at the same time.
We'll
I don't
that
think
message.
He has. I don't think he has. He can runway bump him or anything like that, Andrew.
Take him out at the knees.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
You got it.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:56. I hear you.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us next hour. Allegedly, Gary Busey, real or not, is going to be joining us. Also, comedian Doug Benson. All still ahead on the Kevin Abede Show. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Why will you not get on the Buse train? That's what I want to know.
I'd love to talk to the real Gary Busey, just not the imposter that's been calling us for the past 3 weeks.
I know nothing's free, but my heart-to-heart to you is free.
What's that about? Come on.
It's the best. Last night was awesome. They kept saying, oh, Gary's an idiot. Gary can't do anything. It's like, I know how they're editing this. They are saving it up for the big win. Gary's going to pull through at the end. This team's going to win. And shown up, they came out ahead. I was very happy for Gary. But they do everything they can on that show now to try to make him look brain damaged.
Well, mm-hmm. He is brain damaged.
I understand that. You don't need to really highlight it. It happens organically.
Right.
But Donald Trump now goes out of his way to put him in the worst possible light every chance he gets. And it just makes you feel sorry for Gary Busey. And then you found on the show last night, for the past 10 years or so, he has been functioning at about a 40% hearing level.
Wow.
Because of the brain surgeries and the damage that was done in the accident, he had lost 60% of his hearing. So a lot of his insanity, really, in essence, was him not hearing what people around him were saying and him just responding to things he thought he heard.
But isn't that on him? If I can't hear for 10 years, it's my fault that I don't go get that looked at and get some help. It shouldn't have taken Marley Matley on a TV show to tell the guy to go get a hearing aid.
Yeah, you're operating under a different set of norms than Gary Busey is, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Yes, the average person didn't do something about their lack of hearing for 10 years. Yeah, you could say that would make sense, but maybe Gary thought that's the way the world sounded now. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he had brain surgery. Who knows what you come out of that with?
Glad he can hear now. Yeah. So he's a brand new Gary.
Which is good news, because Wanderlust Media has announced something today that has made me the happiest boy in the world. Wanderlust Media is a company that bills itself as the global leader in celebrity and branded voice content for GPS navigation systems.
Yes!
Today they announce, for just $6.95... you can have Gary Busey be the voice of your GPS system.
Yay! That is so great.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Yes.
Here's a quote. This is one of the roughly 60 different Busey sound bites that you can have on your GPS system while you're driving. Hi, my name is Gary Busey. And if you ever get bored, just honk at geese. Even though you don't see any, just honk at them. Like, I'll give you an example. Honk, honk, honk. I'm not bored because I'm honking at geese. He says in the clip.
He recorded that?
Yes, yes.
How can I get it?
You have to go to Wanderlust Media.
All right.
And then you can download it to your GPS system. Other people that are available? David Hasselhoff. and his car sidekick, Kit.
Oh, dear God.
Mr. T, Flava Flav, also available from this company. So.
Strong.
Good, I have a Flava Flav alarm clock.
Good batch.
So I don't need that for GPS.
I'm sorry, what happened now?
Flava Flav alarm clock. When it goes off, he goes, Flava Flav.
Is that why you're always late? Do you hit it with a golf club or something out of just impulse?
Just saying.
All right, it's Monday. Let's see. Who was the big winner at the box office this weekend? Looks like Limitless came in at number one with $19 million in its debut weekend. Rango, still doing very well for itself, came in at number two. Battle Los Angeles dropped to number three this week. The Lincoln Lawyer was fourth. Paul, in its debut weekend, made $13.2 million. That put it at number five. Red Riding Hood was sixth. The Adjustment Bureau was seventh. Mars Needs Moms. Beastly and Hall Pass rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. And Lindsay Lohan in the news. Apparently starting to put together her plans for the future that will more than likely involve some sort of jail time. TMZ says her lawyer, Sean Holly, is working with Judge Keith Schwartz to put together a deal that would require just 3 months in jail on both charges, the grand theft charges as well as the violating her probation charges.
Now, does that mean she'll do 3 months?
3 months in regular jail here in L.A. County, which, given overcrowding conditions, would probably come out to just 19 days.
All right.
So apparently that's the deal on the table right now. The whole thing can go away if she does around 19 days. So,
what do you think she's going to do, Ralph? Because we talked previously that she might want to just take this to court. She might win.
Here's the thing. She absolutely, well, not absolutely, nothing's an absolute, but I think it's more than likely she would win on the grand theft charges. Seems there's enough reasonable doubt there for her to kick that charge.
Right.
However, the probation violations,
that's not as easy to...
That's not as easy. And depending on how hard-ass this judge wants to be, who's threatened her, next time you're in front of me, you will do time, but he could choose to make an example of her by giving her the full boat, whatever that could be.
But if she's found not guilty, doesn't she then not go... Doesn't she not turn south of...
Well, she's been seen in bars, and they told her that she strictly had to stay away from any establishment that's primary... sales was alcohol.
I mean, as far as charges, though, that's the
I don't
only
believe
thing
she's been charged for any other crimes since she's been on probation. But anytime you're up in front of a judge for potential probation violations, you don't know how they're going to react. You're rolling the dice.
They got a lot of discretion, judges, in cases
yes,
like this.
Exactly. And if she's got a deal on the table, the thing she can live with, it might be better for her to pick that up there. So we'll have to wait and see. But that's the word on the street from Huggy Bear. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Timothy Dalton is 65 years old today. Singer Eddie Money celebrates his 62nd birthday. Gary Oldman is 53.
Matthew, this is an awfully understated Eddie Money birthday celebration coming from you, Ralph Robert. I'd like to say.
It's 8:02. I'm trying to move things along.
I'm just saying. I know how you love. I know how you love the money man.
In the mouth. Come on.
I'll find some time later today.
No, you won't.
Matthew Broderick is 49 years old today, as is Rosie O'Donnell, also 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Local H, by request. I'm just kidding. It's not by request at all. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
April Foolishness, if I'm doing the math correctly. Am I right about this, Kevin? Is a week from Saturday?
That's correct.
I want to say a week from Saturday. The Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. The great Jimmy Kimmel will be there. Patton Oswalt, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, the Axis of Awesome. Our friend Steve-O will be there. Cleto and the Cletones from Jimmy Kimmel's Late Night Show. And the man who just stepped into our studio, ladies and gentlemen, the great Doug Benson, joins us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Doug.
Hey, everybody.
Let me start by asking, are you holding?
You don't have to ask Doug that.
Oh, that's right. That goes without saying.
Yeah, yes. I'm a professional.
We were just fondly remembering the last time you were on the program. I believe it was it the one-year anniversary of September 11th, did you say?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so it was a year later.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because that was seems bad for you.
It was, it was kind of a sad morning with the, you know, everybody was talking about the one-year anniversary of 9/11, and then we came in and talked to you guys about our play, The Marijuana Logs.
Okay.
And we did, and you had us do like an excerpt from it.
Right.
and I think you left the building during that part.
And then your memory of Ralph later.
Ralph came on and went, what a bunch of dumb stoners. And like, we're like listening in the car on the way home to him.
Sounds about right.
Tearing into us.
Oh.
I don't think he paid attention to the segment, though.
That's possible.
It's very possible.
I think it was just generic stoner jokes on his part. I didn't take it personally.
Good.
We are bad, bad people for not having you on in such a long time, but we're delighted to have you, and especially grateful that you're going to be on stage with us on April 2nd, man. That's so, so awesome. You're going to have such a good time, and our audience is going to love it.
Oh, I'm crazy excited about it. I think the charities are good causes, and also when my personal appearance agent called me up to ask me about the gig, he goes, the first thing he says is, now there's no money, but do you want to do a charity event for Kevin and Bean at the Gibson Amphitheater? I was like, let me think. Yes, of course I want to do that.
I'm guessing that's how everyone had to be pitched. I mean, that's, you got to know that up front, there's no money.
Yeah, but you also got to assume there's no money. I know, like, your Kathy Griffins do charity events for tons of money, but most of us do charity events for free.
Right.
For charity.
That's sort of the idea.
The charities are Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai Maxine Dunnett's Children's Center, NICU. So those are the two charities that you're doing.
Yeah, I've heard Ralph talking about that second charity, and it's...
They do amazing work.
Yeah,
they really do.
It's really cool.
Doug, you just got back from South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
We had some correspondents on who were covering it for us last year. Is that a tough place to go and do comedy because it's so overwhelmingly huge and there's so, so many people there? Or is it manageable?
Well, there's a lot of people there, but the venues are small. So, the comedy shows are packed and everybody has a good time.
Have they all been drinking all the entire day so they're a good crowd?
They tend to be a little on the drunk side, but I schedule my shows on the early tip.
Okay.
You know, I go on around 8 o'clock and then chances are there won't be as much drunken heckling and it worked out pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
How do you like Austin?
It was the best 9 days I can't remember in a long time. Yeah, I had a few blackout nights, you know, where there was several hours that you have to check your text messages and you have to check your credit cards.
Ask your friends.
Because some stuff happened during those few hours.
You just didn't know what it was.
I have no idea what it was. I just know I got back to my hotel room safely. So,
well, that's saying
something.
I feel
good about that, yeah.
You know.
Hey, a guy like you is well known enough, honestly, that you could just check TMZ.com to see if you've been arrested or anything.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is
or
this
just check my Twitter feed.
Yeah. Is this true? Have you also recently done comedy on a cruise ship? And if so, what's that like?
Well, normally comedy on a cruise ship is death because it's all children and old people and buffets. And, you know, so unless you have lots of buffet jokes.
That's it. You're out.
Unless you're like a boat comic, as they call them, then it's not going to go very well. But in this case, this was the other greatest offer I got this year. You know, they said there's not much money, but you're going to be performing on a cruise for 311 fans, the band 311.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So you know that at least they're high.
So again, I was like, yes, I am in immediately. Don't have to think about it. And it was amazing because the band still has a huge following, a very young following. I was surprised by, considering their hit songs were like, what, 20 years ago now?
Yeah. And, no, they've stayed pretty relevant. Was the band performing on the ship too?
Yeah, they did shows every night. The first night they did one out on the Lido deck, and then the other two shows were inside, and I got to do a couple of shows during the course of the cruise. But every person on that boat knew me and was familiar with me and liked my comedy.
Sure.
You know, because of the weed thing. And it was so much fun because everybody on the, I didn't bring any weed, but there was so much of it on the boat that I could just walk down any hallway and knock on a door and they'd open the door and they'd be like, oh my God, it's Doug Benson. You want to come in and smoke with us? And you're like, every single time.
That's why I'm here.
It was the best.
That's great.
Best cruise I've ever been on.
How long was that cruise?
That was like a 4-day cruise. Down to Turks and Caicos.
Nice.
And and there was proof that marijuana is not so bad. There were hardly any incidents on the boat, even though there were, you know, these huge rock concerts happening every night. And it was a lot of fun.
I can't believe that 311 is taking fans out on cruise ships to do concerts. I had no idea they were doing that.
It's their first one, and I think it's going to become an annual event because it was nothing but love for the bands and other bands that they invited to come along. The fans were just happy to see anything that, you know, 311 put their stamp of approval
on. How about
that? Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
This is going to turn people's perceptions of cruise ships upside down if you start having 311 and Doug Benson on a boat. I mean, that's way different than the entertainment people have come to expect.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that me talking about it in the media and about how much pot there was probably really makes the cruise line happy.
Very helpful.
Doug Benson is our guest in the Kevin Mead Show, playing the sold-out April Fooliston show, but you can go see him tonight in Los Angeles at Largo, Largo, L.A. Doug goes on stage around 9 o'clock, and you also have a San Francisco date coming up on April the 19th. That's at the Punchline Comedy Club, punchlinecomedyclub.com, and tickets for both shows are available. We'll talk more with Doug about his podcast and everything else going on with him right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in the Kevin and Bean Show to recap what's going on in, I don't know, crazy Charlie Sheenville and more. Doug Benson in studio with us right now, one of the special guests for April Foolishness, happening April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Sold out. Thanks again, Doug, for doing that. And you, you're busy. I got to tell you, every comic we know, Bill Burr is a perfect example of another guy who's going to be on the bill that night, and he says the same thing, has got a podcast. Podcasts are like the greatest thing that ever happened to comedians in terms of kind of getting your comedy out there to the people, right?
Yeah, because it's, you know, even more so than radio or stand-up comedy in a club, there's no one telling you what you can or cannot do.
Yeah.
You know, I just do my show, and we don't edit it. We just tape it and then put it out there. And
I have hundreds of podcasts downloaded that I just can never, ever find the time to listen to.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with them.
It's going to get worse because every comedian's doing them. And then we also have a tendency to, you know, the listeners want them to be long. So, like, a lot of them are... You know, like, I think Joe Rogan clocks in at like 3 hours every week.
Yeah, but Joe could just do it. He could just do full time, 24/7.
That guy, he's good at talking.
Yeah.
He's exhausting, though. I can't get through an entire Joe Rogan podcast. He's exhausting. Now, you've got two different podcasts that are very popular. The one that I've heard the most of is your Doug Loves Movies. Tell me the origin of that. Is it as simple as you really do love movies?
I do love movies, and it just started off as a hook of, you know, something to talk about with other comedians. Like, my guests were all just other comedians at first, and then now it's broadened into... You know, I get actual movie stars and directors, and
Would you consider yourself a critic now? All of a sudden,
A critic as maybe a little bit of a tastemaker, like a slight tastemaker, because, like, you know, I bemoan the failure at the box office of Scott Pilgrim so repeatedly that I still to this day get messages from people. Oh, I can't believe I just watched it and I loved it.
All right,
you know, that's like a movie where. A lot of people just didn't bother with it for whatever reason, and me talking about
it.
It
was underrated, for sure. And you kind of championed Kick-Ass, too, if I remember.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kick-Ass did a little better box office-wise, but it was still, I thought, you know...
Underrepresented?
Underrepresented, yeah. Especially the performance of Hit Girl. That little girl is...
She's amazing.
One of the best characters in a movie. And now this movie Super is coming out, and it's kind of similar, so it's going to get knocked for being, you know, too much like Kick-Ass. But it's got a pretty different tone, and Ellen Page is amazing in it. Like, she's so funny and such a weird character. So check that out. It's going to, you know, go out slowly city to city starting April 1st.
Do you get super frustrated, as I do, that most of the movies are horrible? Not just not for me, but horrible movies. Like, just poorly conceived, poorly written, poorly acted, poorly directed, should never have been made.
You mean like Avatar?
No, I don't mean like Avatar.
I get people mad at me all the time for that. Or Inception. I wasn't like a huge Inception fan. But yeah, that's the thing is like, I think when something comes along that's even remotely original or interesting, you know, people eat it up because so many movies are so bad. And people tease me all the time about, why do you call it Doug Loves Movies when all you do is sit around ripping on movies? And it's like, well, that's how much I love them. somebody has to point out that they're mostly garbage.
You look at the top 20 every week, and I'm hard-pressed most weeks to find anything that I would even be interested in seeing. And I love movies.
Yeah, well, also, look at the time of year. Now, finally, this last weekend, all the movies that came out got, like, certified fresh by Rotten Tomatoes. And that hasn't happened for 4 months because, like, you know, December is when, you know, once January comes around, it's just a dumping ground. Nobody releases anything.
It's slow going.
Of any merit. Like, if you have a chance to win an award, why would you release it at that time of year?
Yeah,
if you have even the slightest chance. So it's just a bunch of dumb stuff gets dumped there, but... Now we can look forward to all the dumb summer blockbusters.
All right.
Now, your contribution to filmdom is Super High Me, which obviously was a big, big hit and was well reviewed at the time. Why have you never been in another movie after that?
That's funny you should mention that, because it's Super Jaime is such an underground success. Like, nobody in Hollywood is really that aware of it or of how many people have seen it or downloaded it. So I just went to the distributor of the movie and said, you guys know how much money you made. And I didn't get very much because I didn't have any, you know, big enough points or whatever they call it. But
because your agent starts every conversation with, there's not much money.
There's
in
not going to be any money in this, but you're going to smoke pot for 30 days. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And, you know, and it's been great for me. It got me so much exposure and got me to a specific audience. But now this distributor is finally saying, okay, yeah, we're going to put up some money. So sometime this summer, it looks like I'm going to make another movie.
All right.
So, you know, but you know how those things go.
Why so soon?
What's the rush?
Do you have an idea of what you want to do with it?
Yeah, I just basically want to go out and I think the documentary format sort of works for me and my life right now, because it's just amazing the reaction I get in public and how often I get, you know, people coming up to me saying, let's go smoke.
Right.
And how many of those people would say, you know, when we say, would you mind doing it on camera, would also say, no problem. So so I think if we just go out there and kind of document my life, it can be pretty pretty entertaining.
Kevin Nealon, who I'm sure you're friends with because all comedians know each other, gets the same thing everywhere he goes because the character he plays on Weeds is always smoking pot. Well, Kevin, the real guy, doesn't smoke pot at all.
Yeah,
so imagine how hellish his life is. Everywhere he goes, people are offering him pot. He doesn't smoke.
What a waste.
Yeah.
He should at least take it and give it to his friends.
And his name is Doug on that show, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I can't imagine the kind of hell that he's in. I mean, I already know the hell that is being in a comedy club and not being a person that wants to get, you know, absolutely drunk. You know, like, people are constantly offering me shots, and when you turn down that, they get so mad at you.
Sure.
That you got to do a shot with them. At least pot smokers are a little bit more cool.
Laid back.
But I'm sure they don't believe Kevin when he says that. I'm sure they're, because they are convinced, because they think he does such a great job on the show. How could you be faking that?
So he's just saying that he is not into it.
Well,
okay,
yeah,
fine,
yeah, they feel like they're being blown off by some hotshot, you know, who's probably got better weed back in his car.
All right, we're almost out of time, Doug. What do your mom and dad think about the comedy niche that you've carved out?
Oh, they're so proud. When I called them up and said, High Times named me Stoner of the Year, I think they...
did your mom cry?
They were beside themselves with joy. When the Marijuana Logs first opened off Broadway, that was the first conversation I had with my parents about being a pot smoker. I was in my 30s at that point, and they never knew. And I had to say, hey,
They're not very observant, are they?
Well, that's the thing. You know how parents are.
It's not that hard.
They just don't understand.
Yeah.
But I actually wrote them a letter. I have to move to New York for a year because I co-wrote and I'm going to appear in an off-Broadway show called The Marijuana Logs, and it's about marijuana. And they were so happy for my success that cushioned the blow that I was a pot smoker.
All right. They were like, how do you know anything about that topic? That doesn't sound like something you would know.
Yeah, you've been such a good son all these years. And now we have to find out this way that pot smoking leads to success.
Hey, listen, go see Doug Benson on stage tonight at the Largo, a great Southern California venue. That's going to be 9 o'clock tonight, largo-la.com for tickets. In San Francisco, try the Punchline on April 19th. And, of course, if you're lucky enough to have tickets for the sold-out April Foolishness concert, you will be seeing Doug at the Gibson with us. Great to have you back.
I promise you. We'll do it again soon.
It will not be another 9 years, first of all. And I promise you that Ralph will not be trashing you as you drive away from the radio station today.
No,
okay?
He already came in and apologized, and it was very sincere.
Great to see you, Doug. Hey, party people, thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good, thank you.
Do you get any kind of updates from iTunes as to how your song is doing? Unless you can actually see it in the top 100, is there any way to know how you're doing with your My Way?
I don't yet. No, I think it comes out on Wednesday.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, but somebody said to me, congratulations on saving that dog. So I'm a little worried about it.
Oh, no. For folks who don't know what we're talking about, Harvey recorded a version of the classic Frank Sinatra song, My Way, at Capitol Records one night, produced by Paul Anka, the guy who co-wrote the song.
And he's put it up on iTunes, and we want you to go there immediately, as I did, and spend the $1.29, buy the thing, and the proceeds go to some great animal charities. When you say it comes out on Wednesday, the song's already on iTunes and already available. What do you mean? What happens Wednesday?
I think you get, they get the numbers.
Oh, I see. The numbers. Okay.
So, Harvey, honest, what do you think?
I think for a guy who is not a singer, it's fine.
Okay.
I think so,
too. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Look, you did a hell of a lot better than I could, but I think if you had any stones, Harvey, you would put it up on TMZ.com and make it one of your TMZ polls. Which is worse, Harvey's My Way or Rebecca Black's Friday?
Oh.
Do you know what's so funny?
That's a given, though.
No, that's so weird you say that. We had that poll. I just didn't want to put – because we put it up this weekend, and we did do a poll on whether it sucked or not.
Right.
And I pulled out a majority of not sucking.
All right. If not sucking is your goal.
I think you did a nice job with it, Harvey, and I'm very proud of you for having the balls to let people hear it, and you're raising money for great charity. That's why I was happy to help you, man. I think it's great. Congratulations.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen for a second, because you have updates, it seems like, every couple of hours on what's going on with Charlie. Why are people falling over themselves, like the Fox Network, as you reported on TMZ.com, to get in business with this guy who's a flake and has no talent outside of reading other people's prepared scripts? What's going on?
But look, here's what you got to understand about this town. I mean, ultimately, people forgive crazy. What they want is money, and what they want is, you know, a hit. And Charlie Sheen produces hits. I mean, you can't deny it. And so the guys at Fox, and they're very good. I mean, Mike Darnell. I mean, you've heard of Mike Darnell.
Sure. Oh, yeah. He's created half the reality shows on the air.
Right. And some of them are just crazy. Well, it just totally makes sense. So they met last Thursday for more than an hour, and they started brainstorming, and I know they started talking about some late night stuff, but you know, if Charlie Sheen, I think Charlie Sheen could draw an audience, and I don't think this is a nutty idea. Here's what I've heard, and I know people who, you know, are around him a lot. They say that when he went off drugs, he really went crazy. I mean, they were shocked. And it was, part of it was just the, you know, going from 60 to zero.
Right.
But they say he's kind of pulling out of it some. So, I mean, ultimately, if he can maintain it, and that's a huge if, I don't think it's a crazy idea for Fox to say, hey, maybe we can get something out of this thing. I don't think that's crazy at all.
I think it is. I don't think it's crazy to hire him as an actor. I think he'd do a great job, you know, if he can find another situation like 2 and a Half Men to where he's delivering funny lines, he's a good actor. I just don't think personally he's that interesting or has that much interesting to say at this point. And that's what's going to happen to those poor suckers who spent all those money to buy tickets to go see his live show, too.
Well, I guess, and we found out that he's going to make $7 million next month off of this live show. $7 million.
Well, that's counting that he does all of them, right? Because we're taking bets here about how long, how many things he's going to do before he realizes that he can get booed live, and he's going to be terrible, and he's going to hate it, and he's going to pull out.
Well, that's interesting.
Don't you think?
It's an interesting theory, but, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe he'll surprise people. He's got a lot of people behind him on this thing, and I don't know. Look, honest to God, this could go either way, and I have no idea, but he has sold out all these venues. The merchandising is crazy. He's going to have these the after parties are going to be interesting. I mean, that's,
sure,
that's the thing I'd like to go to.
Sure, yeah.
To see what happens there, but, you know, he's going to make a fortune.
You saw, or maybe I even read it on your site, Harvey, that about half of the tickets for the Chicago date are already being resold online through places like StubHub and eBay. A lot of people are buying them just so they can sell them to other suckers for more money.
They actually changed the purchasing thing where you couldn't buy more than 8 because there were a lot of people who were buying these things to resell, so they actually changed it.
That's funny. Oh, it's going to be terrible. That's going to be a horrible, horrible show.
It could go either way.
Nope.
Just one way. Just one way.
100% terrible. He hasn't done anything interesting since he stopped that show. I mean, once he said winning and all of that stuff, he was out.
Okay, but you know what? Ultimately, I have a feeling somebody's going to write some stuff. And he's got funny writers. And if, you know.
Well, where have they been the last couple of weeks, Arden?
I don't know, but, you know, I think it's possible. I hear what you're saying.
All right.
I'm not going out on a limb on it, but I think it's possible he could pull this off.
All right.
Our remaining seconds with the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and check your local listings for TMZ television. I just have to ask for some follow-up because I know that you are not only an attorney, but you're really in good with the people involved in this Lindsay Lohan case. Ralph was making it sound this morning during a showbiz beat that he thinks that there's quite a likelihood that she will ultimately accept a plea deal and do a very short amount of time in jail. What do you think, Harvey?
She is warming up to the idea of pleading guilty because on on Wednesday, they have to tell the judge, are they going to accept the plea or not? If she says yes, on Friday, they'll actually do it. The judge, we know, he broke this about 2 weeks ago, that the judge is going to give her 3 months. 3 months turns into 19 days because of overcrowding. She can do that. Her problem isn't that. It's that the judge is going to put her on probation. So if the judge puts her on probation for a year or even 3 years, which is possible,
right?
How likely is it that Lindsay Lohan can stay out of trouble for that long?
Zero.
Less a chance that Charlie Sheen is going to be entertaining.
That's that's the problem, yeah. Because honest to God, she is looking at huge time, even prison time, if she screws up during the probationary period. So that's going to be the trick here, and that's what nobody's talking about, but that's what she really needs to worry about, because if she doesn't clean up her act, she's going to spend a lot of time behind bars.
All right, Harvey, we're running out of time. I wanted to get to the Las Vegas Deputy District Attorney.
Unbelievable.
This is the guy that's prosecuting Bruno Mars and Paris Hilton, right?
Prosecuted both of them for cocaine possession.
Uh-huh.
Bruno, I think just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Busted on Saturday night for cocaine possession.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Isn't that awesome?
And what's interesting about it is Paris and Bruno both got off really easy. I mean, they ended up... And you
that's because he took their coke. If you give me your coke right now, I'm going to go light on you.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Go to TMZ.com to read about this and all the other stories. And please do us a favor. Go to iTunes, search for Harvey Levin, yeah. L-E-V-I-N, and buy his song, My Way. Great, great version of the song, and proceeds going to great animal charities. Harvey, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you later.
Guys, we'll see you.
Who believes that anyone who claims to be Gary Busey is going to be calling us after the top of the hour?
I do.
Really? You think we're going to have a Gary Busey on?
Well, that's what NBC says.
One of the Buseys is going to be on?
I believe Gary Busey himself will be calling us.
Okay.
Again.
We'll find out. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin, believe.
For the first time. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You know what? You don't deserve Busey, Bean. You should probably just excuse yourself.
Why? Because I'm the one who wants the real authentic Busey instead of the poser? I'm the only one who should get to talk to Gary Busey because I'm the one who's holding out for the real dude rather than just accepting the imposter like you.
Got a point.
But what if it's not an imposter?
If it's not an imposter, then you're gone,
then
Bean.
Then Bean has to retire.
I'm in.
From the human race. And by that, I mean die.
Really? That's what you meant by retire from the human race?
That's what I mean, yes. All right, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office. Limitless. Number one at the box office, $19 million in its debut. They're saying it actually overperformed a little bit. They weren't expecting that much, so good for Limitless.
About that.
I think a lot of people going thought they were going to see Limited.
How dare
Kevin's
you.
New movie. Mm-hmm.
It's confusing to have them both come out on the same weekend with a similar storyline.
Trying so hard to differentiate between the two so that people who wanted to see Kevin's film didn't accidentally wander into a Bradley Cooper movie.
How dare you?
Or a Gary Cooper movie would be even worse.
It would be worse.
He's been dead now, for some number of
which
years.
Which one is Limited, Ralph? What's that about?
Well, Limitless is about a man who takes a pill which allows him to use his entire brain, fulfill his complete potential, and it makes him rich and handsome, and he dates all kinds of women, and he's wildly successful and smart. And then Limited is about a guy played by Kevin who takes a pill that makes him even use less of his brain than he ordinarily uses, if you can imagine such a thing. And you've probably seen the trailer for Limitless, but you may not have seen the trailer for Limited starring Kevin.
Scientists say we only use 10% of our brains.
Now, I forgot what I was going to ask.
But what if you could take a pill?
That was the grouping of the most meaningless words I've ever heard in my life. That was more words that meant less.
And use even less. Kevin Ryder stars in Limited.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
What if you could take a pill and never be burdened by having to use your brain again?
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
If ignorance is bliss, he's the happiest man in the world.
The sum of the parts is greater than all of the sum of the, well, you know.
Kevin Ryder is Limited.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Kevin Ryder in Limited, coming to theaters near you.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer? Answer?
Oh, I gotta see that. Scary. See that sounds like the scariest movie I've ever seen.
It's a horror movie.
It is. You took a pill and ended up like Kevin.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Second at the box office was Rango. Battle Los Angeles was third. The Lincoln Lawyer came in at number four. Paul, in its debut, made $13.2 million, good enough to make it number five. Red Riding Hood, the Adjustment Bureau, Mars Needs Moms, Beastly, and Hall Pass, rounding out your top 10. The box office this weekend. The rumor has been confirmed. Inception star Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be playing a villain in the next Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises. Be reteamed with his director of Inception, of course, Christopher Nolan. He'll be playing Alberto Falcone, son of the mafia chieftain Carmine Falcone, who was played by Tom Wilkinson in the original Batman Begins of that series. So the rumors have been laid to rest. Although I think a lot of people were expecting him to play a more high-profile Batman villain, but look, you take what you can get, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Are there going to be any of the classic Jokers and Penguins and those kind of villains in this movie yet? Do we know?
We know Catwoman will be okay. Anne Hathaway.
Well, that's good.
And Bane will be Tom Hardy. We know that for sure.
All right.
So we got that going for us.
All right.
Speaking of superheroes, we missed it over the weekend because it came out on Friday, but they released the first photos of Adrian Palicki in her Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that over the weekend or not. Not the traditional Wonder Woman costume. A little change. She's wearing pants, for example, these days, instead of her star-spangled briefs. But the bustier is there, and the lasso, and the bracelets, and the tiara, all the basic...
The boobs are there.
I got the impression it was not well-received by the geeks.
No, it has not been.
Really?
I think largely because it's not hot enough.
Oh.
You know, Wonder Woman usually wears these skimpy shorts with her bare legs and the boots and just a little bustier and whatnot.
Oh, I see.
They were expecting more skin, I think. And also, the costume itself looks like the costume that comes out after a movie's released that you buy at Victoria's Secret or that place in Hollywood.
Yeah, or a Halloween costume
shop. Like the sexy... Oh, can I get the sexy Wonder Woman costume? Oh, yeah, we got one of those in the back. And they pull it out, and it's made out of plastic and vinyl, and you kind of put it on for your Halloween party. Doesn't quite look as high-tech, I think, as people were hoping.
I'd like to see her move around in that a bit, just before I make up my mind.
She's way attractive, though. She's got that going for her.
And you enjoyed her all those seasons on Friday Night Lights.
Oh,
you used to get it every week after watching that.
Every week I would drive to the drive-in there where they would show it on a dumpster behind an old pickup truck. Me and the other guy who watched that show, we'd sit there and we'd watch the episodes. Oh, I can't wait for them to rerun this on channel 407 at 1:30 in the morning.
In Spanish.
Backwards, so I could download it and decode it. And then take my decoder ring and find out what happened to Coach Leary.
or it was on NBC. Yeah. One of those two.
Yeah, it was.
After all that.
Before all that, rather. I'm out of time already.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. I got so much to talk about.
You know, you wasted all that time with Limited.
I know, but that's a funny bit.
Shouldn't have.
What are you going to do? All right, when I come back in, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, I've got some very funny stuff to talk about, what's going on YouTube with the kids and their music. And by kids, I mean 12-year-olds.
Yes.
Right. We're playing for a new single that's climbing the charts. And also, I'll be giving away a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada. How about that?
Wow. Dude.
How would you like that? How would you like to go to Las Vegas, Nevada?
I would love that.
To see a brand new show that's happening, and I'm very excited about it. So I'll be giving away a trip. I'm Ralph Garman. Oh, let's get the birthdays in at least,
sure.
Shall we? Today's birthday is Timothy Dalton, one of the James Bond dudes. 65 years old. Singer Eddie Money is 62. Gary Oldman.
I got two tickets to paradise.
That's not Eddie Money.
Two tickets to paradise.
He's not that good a singer. I don't know why you're so angry.
Not Eddie Money at all. Gary Oldman's 53. Matthew Broderick's 49. Rosie O'Donnell also turns 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yet so nervous. Aren't you guys nervous?
No.
Look at that flashing light on the phone. That's Gary Busey.
You know what I'm eager to talk to?
Gary Busey.
What? Not you, but Gary Busey.
All right, before we go to the phone, real quick, let me just say this. About 3 weeks ago, somebody called claiming to be Gary Busey. We put the guy on the air, and he was hilarious. We had so much fun talking to him about Gary Busey stuff, including Celebrity Apprentice.
And that's because we had a put him immediately on the air policy here on the show, remember?
That's correct.
If Gary Busey called, you put him through immediately.
He goes on.
Yes.
He's welcome to come on our show whenever he wants. Then a few days after that, Gary Busey called again. Put him on the phone. Talk to him. I started having suspicions that it wasn't really Gary Busey. I enjoyed the conversations very much with the guy, but to me, I wasn't convinced it was really Gary Busey, because what are the chances a guy like Gary Busey's got nothing but time to call yahoos like us, right? So then one of our listeners who works in television production managed to get a camera and a microphone in front of Mr. Busey as he was doing another interview, and here's the conversation that ensued.
There's a lot of controversy on the Kevin and Bean radio show.
Who?
About Kevin and Bean. So I'm assuming
who?
It's not you. The Kevin and Bean radio show.
What is that?
See, it's not you. Supposedly there's somebody that calls in and says he's you. But obviously he's not you.
No, that's not me.
It's not you.
I don't know Kevin and Bean. But Kevin and Bean, if you're out there, that's not me calling you.
All right.
Now maybe they will try calling you.
Yeah, call me up. I'll prove it.
Gary Busey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. For the first time.
Hello?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I would like to explain something to your radio audience right now.
Please.
Right. That my Twitter name is The Gary Busey.
All right.
All the other ones are falsivities.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, right. have you called our radio show in the last 3 weeks?
Never.
Okay.
Wow.
We've been hoodwinked.
No, I don't have your number. And
No, we're cool with that. We just want to know because somebody called with doing an impression of you, and they were doing a really good impression.
You know who that is?
No.
No.
Charlie Sheen.
All right. Now, this is the real Gary Busey, ladies and gentlemen.
Did that answer all your invisible questions?
It did, yes. Yeah.
Yes, sir, it did. Yes,
you
sir,
guys
it did.
Are great, man. How are you doing in this rock and roll world?
We are good.
We are doing great, Gary, and it's a thrill to have you on, and we are enjoying you so much on Celebrity Apprentice this season. Was it fun for you to do?
It's so much fun doing that. It's every morning is Christmas.
You're tired of it, right?
What?
Tired of talking about it?
What?
You heard me. Are you tired of talking about it?
No, right. That's why I'm on the phone with you.
Okay, all right.
That's one of the big reasons. Also, I wonder, where are you guys located?
You mean physically, where is the station?
Yeah.
It's over off Venice Boulevard in Los Angeles?
My gosh, that's great.
All right. Are you going to come down here sometime?
Am I useless then?
No. I'm saying, no, what are you talking about? No, are you going to come down to the station sometime so we can have you on the air in person as well?
Did you guys eat some speed for breakfast or did you sit in your food? You're talking like machine guns.
I'm sorry, we do talk relatively fast.
Is that producer, because you lost the bet?
I apologize.
No. Producer Alex, Kevin, and I don't know if you got the note, asked us to speak more slowly for Gary because he's still getting used to his new hearing aids.
Yeah, that's true. And Bean.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Is that your first name or your last name?
First name, Gary.
Bean.
Yes, sir.
Is it spelled B-E-A-N?
That's correct.
Well, you're nothing but protein, buddy.
That's right. He also goes by protein. That's fantastic.
You're a healthy dude with a name like Bean.
Yes, I am. Gary, we wanted to ask you this. Why did it take you so long to go get help with your hearing loss? It seems like that's the type of thing you would have wanted to handle a long time ago.
Well, I thought I could do it okay by myself, and the hearing aids I got, I did get help for that. But because of my brain surgery, after a motorcycle accident I had, where I split my skull wide open, hit the curb without a helmet, December the 4th, 1988, they couldn't manifest the right cartridge to go in my ear canal. So Molly Madden said, during the show, she looked at me and said, it's not right for somebody to be denied hearing. And she sent me to her doctor, Dr. Bill Austin, who's the number one hearing doctor in America, to the Marriott Hotel at Times Square. And I was with him for an hour, and he put hearing aids in me, in my ear, and gave me some cartridges that fit in my ear and go to an iPod. And I learned that I was only using 40% of my hearing, and I was almost legally deaf.
Wow!
So she brought me a miracle and a blessing, and we talked about that last night on the show.
When your team won the challenge.
Yes.
Gary, it seems like you feel, and I don't know how this will play out in the rest of the season, but it seems like you feel like a lot of team members on your Celebrity Apprentice team are not with you.
No, they're not. They have an alliance against me, and I mentioned that last night.
And what's that about, Gary?
It's about jealousy.
How come? What are they jealous of?
Well, Donald Trump called me a genius twice last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I do things without externally showing what I'm doing.
Right.
And it makes people think I'm not doing anything, but I am. My mind's working very fast and very smooth and very in order so that the ABCs will be followed properly and not end up on the floor. And I did that well last night, and as you saw, and some of the stuff was cut out completely, and that's because it didn't work, and it didn't have anything to do with me. It had to do with Richard Hatch, who is now in prison again for 9 months.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yep.
Wait, he's in prison again?
Yeah, I think he loves it there. I'm going to pick up his 8 or 9 little boyfriend who keep chasing him and wanted to play
We know what they want to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys talk fast.
Oh, sorry.
Gary, you said last night something that I wanted you to expand on, sir, and that is that there's no such thing as a mistake. What did you mean by that?
I think a mistake is a gift because you make a mistake and you go, wow, okay, I see what not to do now. Hey, thank you very much, mistake. And therefore, you're on your way to freedom.
But what if, like me, you keep making mistakes over and over and over again? Doesn't it? It gets depressing for me, I can tell you that.
No, that's when you're a rut. That's when the tape loop is going around over and over again.
That's happening.
And yeah. You're addicted to your own fear, your own doubt, and your own low self-esteem unconsciously. And it didn't work that way. When you receive a mistake, you say, thank you. I won't do that again.
All right. I will try.
You learn better. You apologize to the people who were in on it with you, or you, how you hurt them or made them feel bad about themselves.
I will try that, Gary.
And I've learned that because I've done a lot of that. In the days, I was very difficult. But I'm not difficult anymore because I have a one-year-old son named Luke Sampson Busey and a beautiful soulmate, my fiance Stephanie Sampson. And we have a happy family here at where we live on the ocean in Malibu. And it's just beautiful. And it's beautiful talking to you guys, too.
Fantastic.
I'm really happy that the real Gary is talking to you now.
As are we.
Now,
and we got to get Charlie to keep quit calling you.
Sure.
Now, before we go, Ralph, I know what a movie lover you are and what a fan of Mr. Busey's you are. Did you have anything you wanted to talk to him about?
Well, a huge fan, of course, of all your work, Gary. But I was really impressed last night as I watched the TV show about your definition of freedom and how you use the letters in it to define it. Could you hit that for us one more time?
Yeah, freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M stands for facing real, exciting energy developing out of miracles.
All right.
There it is. There it is.
And a miracle, you can bring miracles to other people if you know you have a miracle in yourself with the love you have for others. That's the golden rule. Treat others as you would have others treat you. And that's where I am now. I'm no longer difficult. The reason I was difficult was because I was difficult with myself. I couldn't get out of my own way, and I didn't know it was me stopping my flow. But we are our worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies. And the enemies you think you have on Earth, they're not enemies. They are here to show you things you need to change about yourself. So in the truth of it all, enemies are simply friends in reverse.
Friends in reverse.
Friends in reverse. You got it.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Busey on the Kevin and Bean Show. Celebrity Apprentice airs Sunday nights on NBC. Gary, the invitation is open for you to come down when you have a night or a morning that you can spare and spend some time with in the studio.
I'll set that up with Mike Conley, my publicist. I'll come in there.
Fantastic.
And we'll dress in costumes and have a food fight.
That's exactly what I was hoping for. Thank you, Mr. Busey, for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
And don't forget, my real Twitter name is The Gary Busey.
All right.
The Gary Busey.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you,
bye. Bye now. By the way, kudos to the guy who fooled us three times.
Yes.
Well done.
Well played. But when you listen to the real one, in comparison, there is no comparison. But he did do a good job the first couple times he called in. Yeah.
Well done.
But there's no substitute for Busey.
That's
there
right.
really isn't.
Here's what you guys fail to understand, is that the Bieber fever is over now. That's so 2010. 2011.
Good, I'm glad with that.
In 2011, you've got the Black Plague, if you're happening. If you're down with the kids, you're into Rebecca Black, and you've got the Black Plague. That's their thing. Now, Rebecca is the 13th.
I guarantee you, by the way, her fans aren't calling it the Black Plague.
The Black Plague is very hot. Very hot. Rebecca is the 13-year-old who became the viral sensation. I think her video on YouTube now is up to like 18 million views or something like that.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing was the Good Morning America interview that she did last week where she said this.
I think I have talent on some level.
I mean, that to me is the best.
Well, then give her a recording contract and a video immediately.
They'll have some talent
on some level. Some level of talent should be a star.
What kind of reactions, what kinds of things are people saying when they hear her song that many have already called the worst song of all time?
I hope you cut yourself, and I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty, and I hope you go cut and die.
So there's that going on. Now, I
Trust
started
me, all
out...
the eating disorders in the world aren't going to look pretty, by the way.
I started out no mocking worries, Rebecca Black like everybody else, but I have to be honest,
should.
When I tell you that, it's a damned catchy song, and I think I now like it.
F you to hell. We all saw this coming, too, absolutely.
I think it's so catchy that you can't not like it.
Because Captain Contrary has to be on the other side of whatever issues out there in the world.
Yeah, if
everyone
it's bad,
agrees,
it's
he's going to love it.
Yes, that's true.
If everyone loves it, he's got to say it sucks.
Well, millions and millions of people bought the song in the last week since it's been
to
available. So I'm not the
it.
I'm not the
ironic
only guy who's
downloads.
That's right.
It's
I keep
ironic.
Telling you, ironic downloads.
It's a special section in iTunes. You can go to ironic.
That's right. Things you're downloading just to mock because you don't really like them.
Now she has apparently she's upset that people are saying she can't sing. So she wanted to prove that she could sing. So she did a version, I guess it was on Good Morning America, one of the Today Show, one of those shows.
I think she's got her own unplugged special now on MTV. It's Rebecca Black Storytellers.
And it's just a piano and a guitar and her singing.
It's Friday, Friday.
Are they trying to drown her out by making the music louder?
Play the failing. Play the piano as loud as possible.
You know, and it wasn't the auto-tune that gave us that annoying sound in her Fridays either. We all thought it was, oh, the poor girl's being over auto-tune. That's why she's going, Friday, and it's not. That's her actual voice.
It is.
Cut yourself.
But I'll stop it. But I'm of the mind that that's not the worst part of the song. The songwriting is the worst part of the song.
Absolutely. But it's not helped by, Friday. I said she sounds like the... mentally challenged girl behind the counter at McDonald's that I go to sometimes, so I just don't want to take my order.
Partying, partying, yeah! Partying, partying, yeah! Fun, 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 looking forward to the weekend.
All right, listen. Here's what's funny, though, and we haven't
brought... Deaf people are complaining.
You ain't friends, did? We haven't brought this up yet, but Bean was very upset off the air earlier this morning because...
Oh, we don't have time for this. Come on, we got... We gotta go.
Because Bean had been fooled by the fake Rebecca Black Twitter account.
Yeah, that was the problem.
So I said, wait a minute, you're following Rebecca Black? And he said, I like to stay current. To which I say, she's a 13-year-old that's made the worst song ever.
What could she possibly tweet that you would want to read?
I have been interested in this viral sensation of the Friday song. I mean, it really is right smack dab in the middle of what's going on in pop culture right now. And I've been interested in it. And I thought, what must it be like for her to see all of this blowing up around her from this video?
And
it must
then
be crazy.
You realize that you have a life
and that she's a 13-year-old girl who can't sing and you're going to follow her on Twitter.
Right, but it doesn't.
But,
it takes.
He's going to follow a faker.
Well, he didn't know she was fake at the time.
He wasn't even following her.
But the decision to follow the real one,
right?
Even
agreed.
If she had been real,
agreed.
Even that decision is so wrong-headed. It's hard for me to get a grasp on.
But it's not. But Twitter isn't one of those things that you make a commitment for life once you decide to follow somebody. You need to follow them forever. I wanted to follow her for a couple of weeks while this thing plays out to see what happens. That's all.
I don't want one tweet from her. Not one.
No.
You know why?
It's not a lifetime commitment.
13. Bad.
It's about a 4-second commitment I don't want to make. You know,
but I've got the Black Plague, though, guys.
It's not called the Black Plague. Stop it.
And that's not going to catch on either, Bean, no matter how many times you try to say it. A lot of 13-year-olds are going to go, yeah, all right, Black Plague, woo!
All I know is that's what Willow Smith called it, too, by the way, is the Black Plague. I don't know why. But look, here's
the
thing.
In her Twitter?
Yes, in her Twitter.
I could not hate you more.
Okay,
sure
I don't
it's
follow
the real Willow Smith.
It's not,
I don't follow Willow Smith.
Hate you more.
But Rebecca Black retweeted Willow Smith. Look, here's the thing.
The fake
I'm not,
Rebecca Black retweeted.
No,
the
real Rebecca Black, who's now on Twitter. Look, I am not creepy playground guy. Please don't get me wrong. This is just. I would be following this if this were a 90-year-old and the same thing were happening. The point is, it's just a fascinating story to see how fast this thing has blown up and all of the cover versions that's happened. The celebrities are getting involved and all the things that are happening. I just think it's an interesting story that I'd like to stay on top of. So it doesn't take me more than a few seconds a day to get an update on what's happening by following her Twitter. That's it. Hello? Is this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes.
Is there any line drawn, a person you won't follow on Twitter? Is there any?
Yeah. I follow about 150 people, and most of those are either people I know or news organizations. This is just one that I... Joe, look, here's a perfect example. I don't care about Dancing with the Stars, but I'm following Psycho Mike's partner, Lacey Schwimmer, because she's his partner, and I want to see how that plays out on their television show.
I'm not going to follow her for NBC.
I'm not going to follow her forever, but I'll follow her as long as Mike's in the competition.
That's not the same thing.
Yeah, it is exactly the same thing.
One of your closest friends and coworkers, and she's an adult who has a mind, who has things to say because she's a professional in her chosen line of work.
Do you shave down there?
As opposed to a 13-year-old girl who can't sing, who has nothing to offer in a prepackaged song and video, who has nothing going on and nothing even to contribute to the story.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
Okay. So don't say you're not creepy,
playground guy, because that's exactly who you
are.
I think I would like to shower with you.
There's nothing creepy about
I'm cute, though. Built good.
You hear him typing.
Oh, you're...
All right.
I want to meet you and fool around.
The point is...
Friendly.
I'm just interested
to see... Well, if I
see...
show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay.
Love being...
All right. Ahead of Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat, let me just mention one more time, our buddy Psycho Mike is going to be a contestant on Dancing with the Stars starting tonight. The prevailing question... that has been posed to us is, how can I vote without watching the show? And that's a very legitimate question, and I think maybe that's what we all ought to try to do. The telephone number is 1-800-VOTE-410, 1-800-VOTE-410, and you can go to kevinandbean.com and you can get all the details on what time to vote and how the whole thing works. And the answer to the question that we were asking earlier, since nobody gets eliminated this week, the votes that they get tonight carry over to next week.
Oh,
so that'll
good.
Help them next week in an elimination show.
So all my votes for Ralph Macchio will count next week? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm recommending you vote for Mike instead of voting for the Karate Kid.
Saying, but I'm saying all my votes for Ralph Macchio, that'll carry over, though,
right? It'll carry over for next week.
Okay.
You are voting for somebody other than your good friend Psycho Mike, yes, that is exactly what will happen. But anyway, all the details about how you can help Mike are available at kevinandbean.com. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News... I got a pretty cool thing to give away. I mean, I like giving away the passes to the movies and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's very fun. But this is above and beyond your usual giveaway during the Showbiz Beat. I am going to give away a trip to Las Vegas. How about that?
All right.
I thought it was pretty cool.
You go to Caesar's Palace. This includes hotel accommodations, dinner for two at Caesar's Palace. And you get to see their brand new show, Absinthe. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Absinthe or not. But I've been looking forward to this show for years.
Because that's the liquor that's outlawed, right?
It is, but it's also the name of a show produced by a theatrical group called Spiegelworld. And Spiegelworld is like Cirque du Soleil, but on acid, drunk, with hot chicks.
Wait, Cirque du Soleil is like it's on acid.
Right, so imagine if you took that... And then you drank some absinthe.
Okay.
And then you shot up some absinthe and you snorted some absinthe.
Okay.
And then you went to see a show.
This show is for grown-ups, right?
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. Right.
This is sort of a combination circus, carnival, burlesque thing. Cirque du Soleil, as they say, channeled through Rocky Horror. It is freaky, out there, cool, funny stuff. And they're doing it at Caesar's Palace, opening it up this week. So if you'd like to go see this show, I really think you should. And I'm giving away, let's say, caller number 12 right now. Call number 12, 1-800-520-1067, will win a trip to Caesar's Palace, including hotel accommodations and dinner for two, in order to see Absinthe, the new show there. You can go to absinthevegas.com for more details. But they started this show in New York. I think in 2006 they sat down for a while. And all my friends who live in New York said it was one of the most fun evenings they've had. So... always nice to see something happen in Vegas that you can go to, enjoy yourself. It doesn't involve me spending hundreds of dollars at a blackjack table. So this will be a nice breather for me when I get to Vegas to go check out Absinthe. So, I'm looking
forward just
to
pick up the phone and call. There's no game they have to play, qualify. Oh, wow.
How about that? Caller number 12, 1-800-520-1067. Congratulations. I'm sending you to Vegas because that's how I roll. It's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on Monday mornings. Limitless was number one, $19 million in its debut. Rango was two, then Battle Los Angeles dropped to number three this week. The Lincoln Lawyer and Paul round out the top five. Red Riding Hood, The Adjustment Bureau, Mars Needs Moms, Beastly, and Hall Pass are the top 10 movies at the box office this week. And Bean has the Black Plague.
Oh, I do. Man.
So he was trying to convince us. Interesting story. this weekend in the New York Post that this Bad Friday song that this girl released may just be the tip of the iceberg.
How don't
may be the beginning, Kevin, of a brand new genre of
don't
music.
Don't say that.
Bad music made by preteens.
Oh, no.
Preteen pop music, or as I like to call it, pre-op music. And here is Exhibit 2 in the evidence for this case. Jenna Rose is her name. She started off with, I don't know, 100,000 or so downloads of her song on YouTube before the weekend. Now it's over 1 million. People are racing to see little 12-year-old Jenna Rose sing My Jeans.
Wait, this is not the Friday song? This is a
new... Not Friday. This is a new bad preteen singer who's been auto-tuned and given her own video. Friday was about partying, getting down on Friday.
Right.
Fun, 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 fun.
Right.
Friday, looking forward to the weekend.
Yesterday's Thursday, tomorrow's Saturday.
Right.
Right.
My Jeans is about... I didn't think there could be any subject matter less significant than Friday. But it turns out Jenna singing about her jeans that she just bought at the mall is even more of a letdown.
I see Hannah Montana's wearing my jeans. Ashley Tisdale's wearing my jeans. Kiki Palmer's wearing my jeans. I just can't believe they wore those jeans like me.
Ow. Ow.
Yeah.
Ralph, when you're running Hollywood, and I know that's the plan, can you please stop it with all the auto-tune?
When I am vice president of showbiz, I will I will pass a law. Yes.
Thank you.
Of course, there is a rap breakdown in the middle of this song, too, like there is in Friday.
Of course.
Baby Triggy comes by and lays down some fat beats or some mad rhymes, yo, or whatever he does. And then Jenna gets a very poignant sort of solo moment where it's a real close-up on her face in the video with this touching tribute.
Look, there she goes. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, that girl wore her jeans like me. I bet she's mad because I look fat. Ha ha ha, jack my swag. Sticks and stones may break my mold.
This is not real.
Yeah.
I look new and earth just looks so old.
Jack that, my swag.
That Andy Samberg does some funny stuff. With his digital shorts on SNL.
Word,
he's very creative.
Word that these were parodies.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Timothy Dalton. He used to be James Bond back in the day. Now he's just 65.
She said, ha, 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 ha,
ha, ha, ha, ha, ha. Not a lyric.
All right,
not a lyric.
Just checking.
Jack my swag.
Jack my swag. Yeah, I don't like when people jack my swag either.
Jack her swag. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Really? Really? Jenna Rose? I don't care if you are 12.
It's not. Unless she wrote it. Those are the people we need to destroy. These songs are horrible.
Can't we destroy them all? Well, let God figure it out.
Sure.
Eddie Money, 62 years old today. Never wrote a song like that, Eddie Money. Real songs. That's what Eddie Money used to write. I feel so depressed that we didn't get a chance to play any really Eddie Money songs today.
Me too. Really
I've
sad
really
about
dropped
that.
The ball.
Really
you know of my
to.
Love for Eddie.
Yeah. It's a big day for you every year. It is. Eddie Money celebration.
I love Money Day. Gary Oldman is 53 years old today. Matthew Broderick is 49. Rosie O'Donnell celebrates her 49th birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We're going to talk to the director of Sucker Punch. How about
Zack
that?
Zack Snyder's going to be on Snyder. This show?
On this show.
Oh, that's better than we deserve.
Do you think he knows, like...
He's a god.
...what he's doing, or is
no.
a publicist just putting one over on him?
Obviously, he doesn't
What
know.
If it's going to be the fake Zack Snyder? You ever think
That'd
about that?
That'd be awesome. Same guy.
I've been following Zack Snyder for years on Twitter. It turns out it's the wrong one.
He wouldn't
he's
follow Zack Snyder
in
on
Milwaukee.
Twitter. She's too important for Bean to follow.
That's true.
He needs to have much smaller things. And I guess Psycho Mike tomorrow we're going to talk to about some TV show he's on. So that's happening.
Vote Ralph Macchio.
That's all I'm saying. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.